If I had to sit on a bench due to diabetes, it would frustrate me. My Bayer meter is very important.
Only Bayer's contour meter has programmable personal high-low settings.
It allows me to make sure that my diabetes is controlled as tightly as possible.
The contour meter, only from Bayer.
CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer standing by live.
And Nick, the president is setting this tone for the live broadcast showdown meeting.
I hope everyone comes with a shared desire to solve this challenge, not just score political points.
For a planned 6 hours, the president and congressional leaders will discuss and debate how to cover millions of uninsured people while controlling costs. On the CBS News Early Show, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs called for a meeting of the minds.
If we do nothing, health care will continue to skyrocket.
But with both sides refusing to budge on the key issues, today's marathon meeting could be more about conflict than finding common ground.
I'm Bob Fuss. Republicans accepted the invitation. Politically, they couldn't do much else, but they are wary and in no mood to compromise. Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell.
The administration wants lawmakers to go down to the White House to talk about a health care bill that Americans have already rejected resoundingly.
He and other GOP leaders say they think the only hope for progress is to throw out all the plans that Democrats and President Obama have worked on and to start over. Clearly a non-starter for today's summit.
I'm Mark Miller at the White House. The summit is unusual but not unprecedented. Last year, President Obama hosted day-long forums on fiscal responsibility and jobs and economic growth. Those were a search for legislative ideas. Today, President Obama knows exactly the kind of bill he wants Congress to enact. He unveiled it on Monday.
This is Howard Arenstein. Some say there is an urgent need to reform health care.
The large number of uninsured is driven in part by a really high and rising health care costs due to an inefficient system.
But Dr. Bradley Herring of Johns Hopkins University doesn't think today's summit will help.
Unfortunately not.
In fact, he says the odds are not good for a reform plan passing Congress this year.
I'm a bit of a betting man, and I'd probably put my money against something happening, unfortunately.
He believes today's meeting is mostly for show.
I'm Steve Kathan. Doctors are like politicians on health care reform. They don't always agree. Dr. Steffi Woolhandler is founder of Physicians for a National Health Program.
What we're saying is let's start from scratch, but immediately start work on a Medicare for All national health reform.
Dr. Jane Orient, executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, likes the old days with fewer links between doctors and big insurance companies.
This could bring down both the cost of the care and drastically the cost of insurance.
Reporting live, Steve Kathan, CBS News.
There will be no killer whale shows at any of SeaWorld's parks after an orca named Talikum killed a veteran trainer at SeaWorld in Orlando yesterday. The death of Dawn Bradshaw was witnessed by a horrified crowd after a noontime show.
She was standing on the rock right above the viewing area. He jumped out. He took off, and then he came back. He jumped off, grabbed her, started thrashing around.
Now, park workers rushed to Bradshaw's aid but were powerless to save her. At an earlier show, tourist Brandon Zibel says the performance was stopped and started repeatedly.
They let the whales kind of do their own thing, and the trainers all got out of the water. And then they came back and explained, you know, this is a little unusual, and here's what's going on. They're simply not listening to our commands.
Bradshaw is the third human believed to have been killed by this whale during the past 19 years. South Florida whale trainer Rick Trout says orcas should not be kept confined.
These are animals who can and have, in captive situations, become very, very frustrated and very...
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
I'm... Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow, they're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
You need. That's their promise. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
Listen to AM 760.
By the way, Bill Press.
Just download the
intellectual giant.
I enjoyed his company. He had a warmth and brash humor that made up for his constant references to a former L.A. life. The retinue of women who supposedly still called him long distance every night. His past football exploits. The celebrities he knew.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Out of many, we are one. That while we breathe, we hope. And where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
In less than 2 hours, the healthcare summit gets underway at Blair House. And actually, it starts right here, right now, on the Bill Press Show. This Thursday edition of the Bill Press Show, February 25, 2010. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to see you today. Thank you for joining us as we come to you live coast to coast from our radio factory here on Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., booming out to you all the way from Santa Barbara, California, to Jacksonville, Florida, and all good places in between. And want to say a particular big hello to our good friends out at Santa Barbara, Progressive Talk 1490, KIST. Joining us and becoming the newest of the Bill Press affiliates, I'm particularly happy to welcome Santa Barbara to the crowd since it's one of my favorite places. Great time spent in Santa Barbara, great memories there, a lot of good friends that live there. Used to love hanging out at a place called the Paradise Cafe. I hope it's still there, haven't been there for a while. Mark, our son Mark, went to a boarding school near Santa Barbara, a little place called in Los Olivos, Midland School, a great school right across the road from the Neverland Ranch.
Hey now!
Hey now, yeah. That's right. They had all kinds of guards there to protect the students from Michael
Jackson. Yeah, exactly,
Jackson.
Right.
To protect the students from Michael Jackson. Anyhow, hello, Santa Barbara. Good to have you on board, and good to say hello to our team, Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning. Good morning, guys.
Hi there,
Bill.
And, you know, for everybody who complains about American politics gets too dirty, too nasty, No. Go across the pond. Go to the U.K. Neil Farage is a politician, a member of the British Parliament, at any rate, and also a member of the European Union Parliament, not too happy with the new president of the EU, and he lets him know it.
You have the charisma of a damp rag and the appearance of a low-grade bank clerk. And the question that I want to ask, that we're all going to ask, is who are you? I'd never heard of you. Nobody in Europe had ever heard of you. I would like to ask you, President, who voted for you? And what mechanism? Oh, I know democracy's not popular with you lot.
Can you imagine anybody standing up on the floor of the U.S. Senate? Do you have the charisma of a damp rag?
Yeah. We got worked up when Joe Wilson said, "You lie." I mean, imagine if he had said that.
Yes, Mr. President, you have the charisma of a damp rag. Oh, my God, I'm telling you. I'll tell you, Amy Klobuchar would never say anything like it. We know that.
We know that much.
Yeah, she's going to kick off our hour for us this morning. We'll talk to Peter Fenn, Democratic strategist, a little bit later. We want to talk about, and with you, about the healthcare summit at 866-55-PRESS. But first,
is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano heading to Vancouver today to lead the U.S. delegation for the closing ceremony of the Olympic Games. Politico reports she'll be accompanied by HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice, and a couple others to cheer on Team USA and take in some figure skating, speed skating, and men's ice hockey before it's all over.
When are the closing ceremonies?
this weekend.
This weekend, yeah.
Patti LaBelle, not happy with the judges on American Idol. She won't name names in an AP interview, but says some of the judges are not qualified to judge. And she says they're too mean.
Ellen.
Ellen. She says they're too mean. Some of their comments would make you want to kill yourself.
Oh. Then do you know who she's talking about?
Yeah. And more people are using Twitter now than ever. The social media site now hosts 50 million tweets a day. In 2007, just 5,000 tweets a day. Last year, 2.5 million. Right now, the world firing 600 tweets per second.
I think Twitter's all over. I think Twitter's yesterday's
news.
It's
all downhill from here.
Yeah, indeed.
It's all downhill from here.
All right, 10 minutes after the hour of the Bill Press Show. Yes, the president. Less than 2 hours, convening top Republicans and top Democrats at Blair House to try to hammer out one last chance to hammer out a bipartisan agreement on health care. What can we expect from it? We turn to our good friend, senior senator from the state of Minnesota, Senator Amy Klobuchar. Nobody ever said you had the charisma of a damp rag, Senator.
Well, Bill, what a nice way to begin our interview. No, that is true. That is true.
Indeed. Hey, before we get to the healthcare summit, I want to ask you about the jobs bill yesterday, 70 to 28. Now, this is a bill that the Republicans filibustered, right?
Well, they tried to. Exactly.
Tried to.
They did, and
yeah.
We were able to defeat it because five of them came over and voted with us to get us cloture.
And then it turns out that the vote is 70, so the filibuster was really not about, it seems to me, the substance of the bill, correct?
Yeah, I think it is just another great example of what we talk about when they're filibustering nominees, when they're filibustering unemployment benefits that then pass 98-0.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
If people didn't question whether this was purely for delay, I think they know now. That's what it's about.
Will there be, there's been some criticism that this jobs bill, $15 billion, which is not pocket change, but still far less than the $58 billion, which was originally planned. Is this the end of it on jobs, or are there going to be more legislation on jobs?
Actually, it's going to be divided into three parts. This was the first, the most immediate need.
Okay.
The second is about tax extenders and ways to give tax incentives for small business, for a lot of successful programs and other things, and to reduce taxes. That was in the original Baucus-Grassley package, and so that's still being discussed. But that'll be the second. And the third is going to focus on small business. And that's what I've heard the most going around my state. You know, they produce 65% of the jobs and really got the short end of the stick. All that money went to Wall Street. Wall Street righted itself. And now you've got small business having a lot of credit problems and yet still hanging in there. And really a lot of our solution is those jobs being created by small business.
Well, it was a good first start, that bill. I thought it had some good stuff in it. And as you say, it's the first of three installments on to do something about the job situation in the country. And on healthcare today, the big summit, February, and we know there are going to be 40 people around the table. What are your expectations, Senator, to come out of the summit today?
Well, I think one of the things that there's been a sea change in the last few weeks from starting with the State of the Union, from when the President went and faced down the Republicans in the House, to the work that was done in explaining how seven Republicans had been on the Deficit Reduction Commission bill and then voted against it, calling out Shelby for holding up nominees, really calling people out if they're being hypocritical. And that is, as it may sound kind of counterintuitive, but if people really want to get something done together, you got to call them out when they're being hypocritical, when they're saying they want to reduce costs, and then they object to every single measure to reduce costs, when they say they want to make sure seniors are protected, and then they object to a bill that closes the donut hole. So what I'm hoping is that there's some pretty aggressive back and forth about our proposals and what they stand for and what they'll do for America.
Do you, when you take a look at the president's proposals, he put it online on Monday, what do you think of it? Is this something you could vote for?
I think it actually has some very good things in there. It keeps the cost reforms, which you and I have talked about this before.
Yep.
I know it's not everyone that calls into your show their number one thing, but being from Minnesota, I've seen the value of how you can actually get higher quality care with lower costs and how you can organize health care in a better way with a primary provider and a team of people working together. And I'm glad that he's kept all of that in there. He also got rid of the Nebraska deal, which I think really hurt the trust with the American people on this plan. And there's also some awards for states that have really expanded coverage and are working to include more people and have more people have access to health care. And most of the things are in there that people want. The public option, something that actually I favor the House version, the negotiated public option, that is not in there. And I know that there will be some attempts to add it in, and we'll see what happens there. It's another way to bring down costs and bring competition in.
Well, in fact, I was surprised, and I wanted to ask you about that, but since you mentioned it, there is a letter that's been circulated by the Progressive Change Committee, as you know, to members of the Senate, to Democrats in the Senate, asking whether you would be willing to use reconciliation to get a public plan option in the Senate bill. You haven't signed that letter yet. Why not?
Yeah, and I've actually been really troubled by the approach of the group on this. You know, the letter has some merit to it. There's no doubt I actually do support reconciliation, and I've issued a very clear statement on that, as well as supporting the public option that is in the House version. My issue that is that some of my colleagues want a different public option, and that's based on Medicare rates. And you can argue the differences between them, but I know for my state, and if we want to encourage cost efficiency, just taking the existing Medicare rates and extending them out into a public option isn't going to encourage the kind of cost efficiency that we want in our healthcare system. And so that's why I'm not signing the letter. And I know a number of my colleagues who are more liberal than me aren't signing the letter for different reasons. And I think it's sad because many of us, and I think it's pretty clear who's in favor of the public option and who's not, and to use that letter with someone, one person's language, as sort of a litmus test, I think it's very unfortunate, but that's what's been happening.
Do you believe, then, that you mentioned reconciliation, that this is the way we're going to get, despite this meeting today, that this is it's going to end up that we get health care legislation in the Senate through reconciliation because there won't be any Republican votes?
Well, I think the way I look at this reconciliation, first of all, this idea that it's some radical concept is just bogus. It's been used 20-some times in the last few decades.
For important stuff.
Exactly, 16 times by Republican Senates. I mean, so what I look at it is, especially in this case, when a health care bill has passed the House and the Senate, it's to fix some things. For instance, getting rid of the Nebraska deal. I think that's a general agreement from the right and the left that that's a good idea. Doing something to protect the middle class more with some of the excise tax issues. I think there's general agreement that that will be a good idea. And so when we look at what we would be voting on in reconciliation, it would simply be making changes to the bill that have a budgetary impact that I think most people would agree are good policy. So that's how I look at it at this point. It's reconciliation. It's reconciling some issues with the bill that have budgetary impact. And so it's narrowly used for issues that have budgetary impact.
And now, when the president put his plan up on Monday online, I was there at the press briefing at the White House on Monday, and Robert Gibbs said, okay, now we put our plan up here. We invite the Republicans to put their plan up, right? It's 8:18 a.m. East Coast time on Thursday, the day of the summit, and nothing has yet been posted by the Republicans. So do you expect them to come in with any ideas or just to come into this meeting to try to shoot down anything the Democrats come up with?
Well, maybe if you check it like 8:33 a.m.
Yeah. I'll keep checking.
I hope they come in with
ideas. Keep hope alive.
Actually, Kathleen Sebelius and Nancy Ann DeParle have an interesting article in the Washington Post today that people should look at. I think it's fascinating. It goes through all of the proposals that are in the president's proposal, and many were in the House and Senate bills as well, that were actually advocated for by Republicans. In many cases, it was their bills. You know, things about the cost reform I talked about, things about Medicare fraud, ways to look at how we can reduce costs, and tort reform ideas. It's all in that article, so people should look at it, because different Republicans, House and Senate, proposals are in this bill and have been for a while.
And today will really be a show and tell, right? I mean, it's not going to be so much the time for rhetoric, right, as testing these ideas. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think if they come up with just these wild claims that the president is just going to sit there and let them get away with it.
No way. You saw what he did when he went to visit the House of Representatives. He didn't let that happen. He called them on things. And that's what when we started talking this morning, that's what I think is important in this, that we don't let people get by. I won't be at the table, but yeah. they don't let people get by with false claims and exaggerations when, in fact, we're talking about something that is so important to the American people. people are losing their health care every day in this country, and most importantly for my state, it's got one of the highest coverage rates. It's just getting more and more expensive. You look at that 29% proposed increase, you know, what was going on in California with that one insurance plan. That's what we're going to see more and more if we don't start being serious about making health care more affordable to the people of this country. And there are so many things in this bill. Gawande, the guy that wrote the article in the Atlantic Monthly.
Yes, or Gawande, right.
He wrote an article in the New Yorker a few months ago that got a little less attention about the Senate bill. And he looked at all the proposals in it. He said, you know what, half the bill is about cost reform. And he said, it's not a one-size-fits-all. What works in one state won't work in another, but it will change the culture of how we deliver health care to bring down costs. And he likened it to agriculture reform in the early part of this century when, in fact, food was something like 25% of people's budgets, and then it went down to 8% because Agriculture Department, USDA, put some incentives out and said, hey, try crop rotation, do this, do that. And actually, it made it much more efficient and brought down costs for American people. And he makes an interesting argument that it's very similar with what can happen here. It's not a mandate in every case, but it creates incentives to change the culture so you can have more clinics working like the Mayo Clinic, rewarding cost-effective care and high-quality care.
Well, the important day, really, I think, is not going to be so much today. It's going to be tomorrow when Democrats have exposed the Republicans for the naysayers that they are, obstructionists that they are. Then Democrats take this bill and get it through the Senate. With your good help, Senator Amy Klobuchar. And thanks for starting off the day with us.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. Look forward to being on in the coming weeks.
All right, great. Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, senior senator with, and of course, she's senior to Al Franken in Minnesota.
Every time I turn the Bill Press Show, I get pumped up.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
Well, I don't need coffee. I throw the coffee out the window.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Are you burdened with $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Struggling to get your life in order? Let us help by settling your debt. Imagine living a stress-free lifestyle that you deserve. If you are currently working and can afford making monthly payments, call our professionals today for a no-obligation analysis. Call 1-800-240-DEBT, 1-800-240-3328. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you owe it to yourself and your family. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-3328. The government is bailing out the banks. Now it's your turn. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt and are currently working but struggling to pay your bills, you may qualify for one of our partners' debt settlement programs. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-DEBT, 1-800-240-3328. Get your life back on track. You deserve it.
It's the dawning of a new day for American business. The future looks brighter, and it's all because of you. Your ideas, your energy, and your dreams are the most precious resources we have. And OfficeMax has the products and services you need to help make your dreams come true. OfficeMax, work with us.
Right now at OfficeMax, save up to $100 on all Brother printers. Certain restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes.
Yes.
Tires.
Yep.
Struts.
Of course.
Oil changes.
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod.
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Right now, save on all Goodyear tires. Plus, get $80 cash back by mail with a purchase of 4 Goodyear tires before the 28th. And diehard automotive batteries as low as $69.99. Visit SearsAuto.com to learn more. Sears, life well spent.
If you're doing any home improvements, you'd be crazy not to check out Buy and Build. I found this place after hearing about them on the radio, and everything they say is true. They have incredible deals, way cheaper than anywhere else I've ever looked. Cabinets, flooring, countertops, sinks, faucets, and toilets. My wife and I have fallen in love with Buy and Build. You will too. You'll get great deals and a vast selection. 4800 Washington Street, 303-295-6022, or buyandbuild.net.
I'm Scott O'Sullivan of the O'Sullivan Law Firm. There are things that you need to know if you were hurt in an accident. Like if the other driver's insurance company calls to ask you questions about the accident, do not give them permission to record the call. they will find a way to use it against you. For more tips on what to do after an accident, find me at O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. That's O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. Or call me at 303-388-5304.
This is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Envelopes to our new online tools. ValPak has what it takes to make this year your year. To learn more, call 800-4-VALPAK. V-A-L-P-A-K.
Why are you so distant? Did you have to shoot anyone?
You gonna get a job now or what?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
26 minutes after the hour, Democratic strategist Peter Fenn talking about the politics of health care in the next segment here of the Bill Press Show. So, what do you expect out of the summit today? Anything at all positive? John's got some thoughts from Ithaca, New York. Hello, John.
Hey, Bill. I'm calling from the middle of a blizzard here in Ithaca.
Has it already started up there?
All right.
Listen, I just listened to Amy Klobuchar on your show, and doesn't she realize that the message she is sending to all of us out here is that she does not support a public option by not signing that letter? I mean, the niggling problem she has with the detail of attaching costs to the Medicare, that can be solved, but by not signing the letter, she sends a really bad message.
Well, look, I've been encouraging people to sign the letter, but in this case, I'll give Amy Klobuchar a pass. I think she's got a point that the letter says you have to do the public plan option a certain way. She made it clear she's for reconciliation. She's for the public plan option. She likes a public plan option, which is in the House bill, which is stronger than anything that's in the Senate. So I think she'd be a strong vote if it comes down to it. And I wouldn't. You may think it's a distinction without a difference. It's an important distinction to her. Jerry calling from Vancouver, Washington. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, Bill. Are you the Bill Press that used to be on KFI when I lived in L.A. years ago?
You got it, man. KFI, more stimulating talk radio.
The Flamethrower of Los Angeles.
Yeah, there you go. All right. What's up, Jerry?
I'm actually in opposition to all this agenda that's going on, and I hope the Republicans are obstructionists. I don't want their fingerprints on any of this stuff. I hope this fails because just like Social Security and Medicare that's going bankrupt and having a negative cash flow, and everything that you guys have touched as far as stimulus packages and unemployment.
Oh, Jerry, get lost. Get lost. I mean, Social Security and Medicare are two of the greatest government programs ever, and universal health care will be the third.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes.
Yes.
Tires.
Yep.
Struts.
Of course.
Oil changes.
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod.
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Right now, save on all Goodyear tires. Plus, get $80 cash back by mail with a purchase of 4 Goodyear tires before the 28th. And diehard automotive batteries as low as $69.99. Visit SearsAuto.com to learn more. Sears. Life well spent.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Increase employee productivity and stop malware threats.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Web Filter is an integrated hardware and software solution that enforces internet usage policies by blocking access to websites and internet applications that are not business related. The Barracuda Web Filter is the easiest way to get your staff back to work while preventing harmful malware from entering your network. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
Hi, this is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $4.99 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should, too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Hi, I'm Scott O'Sullivan of the O'Sullivan Law Firm. There are things that you need to know if you are hurt in an accident. First, get your car to safety. Second, call 911. Third, get the other driver's name, number, and insurance information. Fourth, get all the witnesses' information. And finally, take pictures of the scene. For more tips on what to do after an accident, find me at O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. That's O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. Or call me at 303-388-5304.
Hi, it's David Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepalese, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week, and they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill, theyakandyeti.com.
From Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Show. 33 minutes after the hour, it is the Bill Press Show on this Thursday, February 25, 2010. We're coming to you live coast to coast from our radio studio on Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., talking healthcare summit. Less than an hour and a half from now, we'll get underway at the Blair House just across the street from the White House. The president will be walking across, so they've closed down Pennsylvania Avenue early this morning to make sure that's a safe trek for him over and back. Looking at the politics of all, we turn to our good friend, Democratic strategist Peter Fenn. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Bill.
You know, before we get to the summit, there are a couple of other political questions I've got to ask you. First, let's start in Pennsylvania. I know you've been following the Senate, the Democratic primary up there. Arlen Specter, the new Democrat, right, has got the endorsement of the president, the vice president, and the governor. But Joe Sestak, Democratic congressman, is nonetheless bucking the establishment and challenging Arlen Specter. And this week, Peter, Joe Sestak said he got a call from the White House offering him a job if he would drop out of the race. Do you know anything about this?
No, I saw that report too, Bill. I heard, as you did, heard that rumor. But I'll tell you, it absolutely amazes me that that could be true. I mean, I don't know why in the heck you'd do something like that. If somebody threw that thing out at him within the White House, they probably should be bounced.
It's certainly not the new politics we expect.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, it's just, It's just a crazy offer. The other thing about this race, it seems to me, Bill, is, you know, I'm not entirely sure who the strongest candidate in this race might be. You know, obviously, Sistek has a lot less money, to make his case. Look, Spector's sitting on, I think the last time I looked, $5-6 million. I mean, it was a tricky one, but, you know, this is going to be a tough general election against Toomey.
Well, the key question, isn't it, for Pennsylvania Democrats is who could beat Tim Toomey?
That's exactly right. And Toomey is, as you know, he's another one of these hard right guys who is sort of off the charts. I mean, this guy would be, a really bad senator.
Oh, yeah. No, he's the ultimate teabagger, right.
Yep.
The other Senate race that I find interesting is what's happening up in New York. Roll Call has an article, a story this morning, that they polled Democratic members of Congress about what Harold Ford is doing up there, former congressman, of course, from Tennessee, and former Senate candidate from Tennessee, now exploring running for Senate in the primary against Kirsten Gillibrand. And his Democratic colleagues in the House, former colleagues, are telling him, don't do it, Harold. Do you think he will?
You know, I think he may pass on this now. I'll tell you, I have never, this was several weeks ago, Bill, but I have never seen a more devastating article as a front page story on him in the New York Times. It was embarrassing. I mean, everything from his, you know, getting his nails done to how he'd never been in the boroughs but had flown over them in a helicopter to the fact that he wasn't registered to vote up there. I mean, he made, you know, he wouldn't release information on his personal finances, what he was making from Wall Street. I think this guy's head got absolutely huge after that Senate race, which was close in Tennessee. And, you know, he was probably just on TV a little too much.
You know, I mean, I think he would have made a good senator from Tennessee. I mean, a great senator from Tennessee. I support him totally, but he's not a New Yorker.
No. And you know what? You know, the other thing about this is, he's not a Robert Kennedy or a Pat Moynihan or a Hillary Clinton either. If you're going to use the example of national figures,
right,
a national figure, he ain't.
All right. Now, while we're in New York, we're going to get to the summit here. But while we're in New York, I can't resist this one. Today, New York Times, what a bombshell about David Paterson. So this is, Paterson's involved, but it concerns, for our listeners who haven't heard the story yet, top aide to the governor by the name of David Johnson went from being his driver to his top aide. He's been accused of assaulting a woman. And according to the New York Times, she dropped the charges after getting some pressure from state police and from the governor himself. What does this do for David Paterson's chances for re-election?
I think he was on less than life support before this incident. He has announced, I gather, that he's put the aide on leave. Well, give me a break. The guy's worked for him for 10 years. He's his closest aide, closest confidant, it appears, closest friend. And this is all really bad stuff, Bill. I think Andrew Cuomo is the candidate here, and I think this thing is all but over.
Just a matter of time. Yeah, it's also ironic that the governor has asked the Attorney General, Andrew Cuomo, to investigate these charges against him, damn well that Andrew Cuomo is probably going to challenge him in the primary.
If he's
still around, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the White House, again, I think, and this was one that was a little on the clumsy side, I mean, they tried to get him to drop out of the race. I think there were other ways probably to do that. There was some talk that he was thinking about it anyway. I don't know. I think, you know, these guys get pretty stubborn. They don't move.
But if his chances were, you're right, slim, now his chances are probably nil. No. Okay. Now, on the summit, let's talk the politics of it, not so much the substance. Politically, is this a win-win for Obama? How do you read it?
Well, look, I think we got to pass this bill. And, you know, the thing that it hurts a lot of us is that, you know, back last spring we were talking about a plan. I think a lot of folks agreed on it, had a public option in it. You know, it was really robust. And then things just got whittled down, We accepted 180, Republican amendments. You know, Max Baucus thought that he would get an agreement with Chuck Grassley and others. And, you know, I think they were playing us. I mean, when Alex Castellanos, wrote a memo to these guys saying delay, 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 that means kill it. That's precisely what they were playing with
sure.
during the summer and fall. So at this point, you know, I've about had it on this whole talk of reconciliation. And I have to admit to you that, you know, you and I have been around here a while. I worked on the Hill for a while, and I get a little of this, but I wasn't an expert in reconciliation. Well, when I looked at this, with a lot of other people, practically every piece of health care legislation since 1982 has come before the Senate and been passed with reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
It started with hospice under Ronald Reagan. It went to COBRA. You know, it went to cancer screenings.
Yeah.
You know, it went to the Children and Health Program, the CHIP program, all major legislation. In fact, you know, a woman who teaches with me at George Washington, who heads up the health and policy department there, said just that. She said, you know, look, virtually all of health reform, with very few exceptions in the past 30 years, has been passed through reconciliation. So what is all this talk about how unusual this is, how this is so outrageous that we should be doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Even the Washington Post missed it a little bit. I mean, they supported it, but they missed the history of it.
No, they think this would be an aberration or, you know, something unusual, right?
The aberration, Bill, is requiring 60 votes
exactly.
to pass to rename a post office up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. But now I want to look at this in the terms of get your take on the midterms, because you hear so many people, especially the Republicans, who are saying, you know, the Democrats are going to pay, the American people don't want this, they're going to hate it, and but Democrats pass health care legislation, it is going to be, you know, they're going to rue the day when it comes to the midterms. I think it's going to be just the opposite. I think once we get the process passed and we get a bill, people are going to love it.
Total horse manure. Absolutely, Bill. Absolutely. Look, the Washington Post poll yesterday, 58-38. People want this done before the end of the year. You look at the example of Massachusetts. What people don't like is the making of watching sausage being made. They had the same feeling in Massachusetts with that health plan. They were all up in arms about what the heck's going on. It passed. It's working. There, you know, there are kinks, but they're working out the kinks in the thing. And I tell you, I say to every member of Congress who's worried about this, I say, now here's your choice. You go before your constituents next November saying, well, it's been a fun 2 years, but we really haven't done much.
Yeah,
or you go before them and you say, you know something, it was hard, it was tough, this is a huge problem, we've been trying to do it for 50 years, and you know, we passed it. And you know, here's the good stuff about it. You tell me what's going to work better for you.
Right. So you got the Democrats, and their message is, we delivered universal health care, or we delivered health care to 30 million Americans
right.
and protected you so from these outrageous rate increases, blah, 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 blah. And the Republican message is, we tried to kill health care, and we failed. Now, which would you rather go before voters on?
You know, this is absolutely true, Bill. I still believe that the Republicans are playing a very dangerous game with their strategy and have been for the last year, which is voting no on everything. Now, you know, if everything goes down the chute, you know, you're the party, you know, sure, can you win elections? But if you pass stuff, if you suddenly, the American people see the Republicans as not people that are coming up with any new ideas, not people that are pragmatic. This isn't about ideology. This is about getting stuff done. And if the Democrats are the party that are getting things done, then, you know, they're the ones that will reap the political benefits. That would be my argument. And so I worry about some of these, you know, first, second term Democrats who, you know, who get blasted by Tea Partiers or go to a town meeting and have folks mm-hmm. get up and scream at them. And they don't realize what the implications would be of being a do-nothing Congress.
Yeah. Well, that's why they need smart people like you, Peter, to help them out here. And I hope they pay your outrageous fees as well.
There you go.
Hey, Peter, always good to talk to you. Thanks, my friend.
See you soon. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Democratic strategist Peter Fenn here on the Bill Press Show.
Podcasts, Twitter feed, and Bill's White House Report exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
So, what would you do if you were Miss Northern Hemisphere?
If I could change one thing in the world, I would build lots of La Quinta Inns and Suites. They would have new, inviting lobbies and thousands of new, refreshing rooms. They'd be even better than before!
But La Quinta already did that.
I love La Quinta and clouds.
Wake up on the bright side at La Quinta Inns and Suites. Book now at LQ.com or 800-SLEEP-LQ.
La Quinta.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Give remote users secured access to network resources.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda SSL VPN is an integrated hardware and software solution, enabling secure, clientless remote access to internal network resources from any web browser
on a PC, Mac, or smartphone.
With no software to install, no per-user fees, and a quick installation, the Barracuda SSL VPN empowers your staff with valuable network resources
from anywhere.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit.
888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or visit Barracuda.com.
We can't cook, we can't shower, got a backed up sink. We've been waiting for 8 hours.
Nine!
The kids are starting to stink.
Call Drain Solvers. Don't delay, and your kids will bathe today. This is Bob, the owner of Drain Solvers. 303-423-1000. Call today and we'll clean your drains for $99 and camera your sewer line for $79. Call Drain Solvers, 303-423-1000 or go to drainsolvers.com.
John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Nelson. How are we feeling today?
Hi, doctor. I feel great.
Then what seems to be the problem?
There's no problem.
Then why are you here to see me?
I'm here to help you save money on your car insurance.
In my office?
I'm your local GEICO agent. And since I'm local, I'm always close by. So if you want GEICO's famous low rates but want some personal service, I'm never far away.
So you're here in my office?
Exactly. Always close by. Hey, I wonder if I could grab a couple of those rubber gloves. I'm painting my house this weekend.
If you ever need help saving money on car insurance, have questions about your policy, or just want a free rate quote, your local GEICO agent is always close by.
Your local GEICO office can help insure more than just your car. They can help you with your motorcycle, boat, homeowners, renters, and other insurance products. For a free rate quote, call 303-413-8664 today. That's 303-413-8664. Or visit your local GEICO office at 2875 28th Street in Boulder.
A brighter day for your children begins with you. Shop local first. You'll help your community thrive, and by not shipping goods long distances, you'll save fuel and reduce emissions.
Get more earth-saving tips at am760.net, keyword green, sponsored by Clorox Greenworks.
I want to leave them a brighter day.
Save paper and the world by printing on both sides, then recycle so it never reaches a landfill.
Get more tips at am760.net, keyword green, sponsored by Clorox Greenworks.
You're listening to AM760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
12 minutes before the top of the hour, the Bill Press Show brought to you today by AFSCME, the largest public employee and healthcare workers union in the entire country. For more information about the good men and women of AFSCME making America happen, go to the website www.afscmeafsme.org. Yesterday, also on the Hill, a testimony from the president of Toyota Motors, Mr. Toyota, Brian Ross from ABC News, saying ahead of time, giving an idea ahead of time of what to expect from his appearance.
As the grandson of the Toyota founder, Akio Toyota is often called the prince, a prince who has spent much of this year bowing in apology again and again for his company's safety defects. The question today is, will he bow before Congress, and how low?
Ooh, that was pretty harsh, and Mr. Toyota did make the public apology the members of Congress wanted to hear.
I am deeply sorry for any accident that Toyota drivers have experienced.
If you're a Toyota driver and you're happy with that apology and you just want to move on, you're kinder that person than I am. I don't think that answers the, I don't think that resolves the problem at all, especially when they, he and the president of, the American president of Toyota said they're not, still not really sure they know what's causing the problem. It could be a computer problem. They're not sure yet. So drive your Toyota and hopefully it won't happen to you.
Yeah, good. I feel much better now.
Why are they on the road? That's what I want to know. And the Congress also yesterday, debate heating up on health care in advance of today's summit. New York Congressman Anthony Weiner, I don't think he got carried away at all, but he got up on the floor, and after some pretty heated comments, one Republican stood up and demanded that his remarks be stricken from the record. And so the presiding officer, who happened to be Dan Lundgren from California, agreed. So Anthony Weiner gets up and tries again.
Gentleman from New York is recognized.
Again.
Make no mistake about it. Every single Republican I have ever met in my entire life is a wholly owned subsidiary of the insurance industry. That is why Americans...
Mr. Speaker, I ask the gentleman's words be taken down once more.
I will suspend...
All right, so he gets shot down again. Hey, I think what he said was absolutely true. Wholly owned subsidiary of the insurance company. So then Anthony Weiner, this is his third attempt now, and he just lays out the differences on health insurance between Republicans and Democrats.
And I've heard a couple of times today, well, we have an effort for bipartisanship here. No, there is not bipartisanship on this fundamental issue. And that is the people who sit on this side, at the risk of offending anyone, generally support the idea of standing up for the American people in their daily battles against high insurance. And the people, generally speaking, who sit on this side of the chamber, and specifically speaking as well in a lot of cases, simply won't permit that to happen and haven't for a generation. Well, that's going to end now. Enough of the phoniness. We are going to solve this problem because for years our Republican friends have been unable to and unwilling to deal with it.
All right. Well, I haven't heard anybody better point out the differences between the Republicans and the Democrats on health insurance. We saw it in the House and we saw it in the Senate for sure. And we're going to see it again today at this summit that starts a little over from an hour from now at Blair House, where I think you're going to see on television, on C-SPAN, the whole thing played out, where Democrats are there working together to come up with a solution for the American people, and Republicans are there just to shoot anything down, no ideas of their own, and just kill any effort at health care reform because they don't believe in it, they don't want it, they're there fronting for the insurance companies. Meanwhile, up in Vancouver, the Winter Olympics continue, the slalom yesterday, and one French skier was doing great until instead of going around the gate, he went over the gate and he got slammed by the pole right where it hurts.
Yannick Bertrand. Gate to the groin for Yannick Bertrand, and you could hear it. And if you're a man, you could feel it. Wow. Watch this again.
Here it goes.
Oh, the Frenchman. Oh, monsieur. Wow, the boys took a beating on that one. That guy needs a hug. Those are the moments that change your life if you're a man, I tell you what.
I crossed my legs just listening to that. It hurts. I'll be back for the parting shot.
The Bill Press Show continues.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE-certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes?
Yes.
Tires?
Yep.
Struts?
Of course.
Oil changes?
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod?
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Right now, save on all Goodyear tires. Plus, get $80 cash back by mail with a purchase of 4 Goodyear tires before the 28th. And diehard automotive batteries as low as $69.99. Visit SearsAuto.com to learn more. Sears, life well spent.
It's the dawning of a new day for American business. The future looks brighter, and it's all because of you. Your ideas, your energy, and your dreams are the most precious resources we have. And OfficeMax has the products and services you need to help make your dreams come true. OfficeMax, work with us.
Right now at OfficeMax, save up to $100 on all Brother printers. Certain restrictions may apply. See store for details.
I just love being at a 24-hour copy center at 3 in the morning. So many strange and wonderful people to avoid. I initially ventured in here to print hundreds of flyers to promote my restaurant. Then it hit me. Flyers? Why not call Dex One and get a real marketing plan? So I called 1-877-4-DEX-NOW, and now I'm talking to a Dex One marketing consultant named...
Hi, this is Steve.
So can you make it easy for customers to find my restaurant?
Absolutely. At Dex One, we can design a marketing plan as unique as your business, one with print and online advertising.
Cool.
Our integrated plan even features mobile search, so you can attract customers on the go, all for less than the cost of your flyers. So no more 24-hour copy places.
Imagine a world without paper cuts or toner stains.
Sure.
Dex One. Marketing solutions. Business results. Take your business up a notch. Call 1-877-4-DEX-NOW.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Thursday, February 25, my parting shot for today on healthcare, it's high noon at the OK Corral. Actually, it's 10 a.m., a little over an hour from now, at Blair House. That's when top congressional Democrats sit down across the table from top congressional Republicans with President Obama as referee to see if they can hammer out a bipartisan agreement on health care reform. My advice, don't hold your breath. This is one event for which there are no high expectations. President Obama put his proposal on the table 4 days ago, but as yet, with an hour to go, Republicans have put forth nothing because they have no ideas. They don't want any health care reform. They're coming to the summit only to find fault with anything suggested by Democrats, in which case this summit would be a waste of time, except for this, to expose Republican leaders of Congress as the good-for-nothing bunch that they really are, which leaves no doubt on what Democrats have to do next. Forget about the Republicans. Take the president's plan, add a public plan option to it, and then push it through the Senate with 51 votes. Reconciliation. And then let Democrats go around the country and take credit for extending health care to 30 million Americans, and let Republicans explain why they tried to kill it. That's my parting shot for today. By the way, USA Today reports 3 out of 4 Americans don't expect any agreement to come out of today's summit. That's an article by Susan Page, who will be there at the Blair House today and will be on our show tomorrow morning, as well as the new president of the AFL-CIO, America's top labor leader, Richard Frumka. Another two good reasons for being right here tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press Show.
That guy needs a hug.
These days, carrying a mortgage and struggling to avoid foreclosure can overwhelm even the strongest person.
Don't I know that?
You may be struggling even though you've been responsible and done all the right things.
Like we've tried to.
We sure have.
The weight of preventing foreclosure can become just too much for anyone to bear. But now, help is available. Offering alternatives for lots of homeowners and many difficult mortgage situations. One option is advice from certified foreclosure prevention specialists. It's absolutely free. Don't struggle. Find out what might help ease your burden. Log on to www.makinghomeaffordable.gov. That's makinghomeaffordable.gov. Because foreclosure is not a foregone conclusion. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. The table set for President Obama's health insurance reform summit with congressional Republicans. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs sounds a cooperative tone just an hour now before the start of the showdown meeting.
We want to hear again from Republicans and incorporate even more of the ideas that they have into the president's proposal.
But on the CBS News Early Show, House Republican Whip Eric Cantor gave a cold shoulder to the president's plan.
Republicans do care about improving health care for America and his families. We just don't care for this bill of his.
There has been a big buildup to this unprecedented live broadcast debate and discussion. Presidential historian Stephen Hess says it is a unique moment.
All of this makes a big deal of difference. It does focus the mind.
President Obama opens the session at Blair House, starting 6 hours of marathon talk, so it will be later today before the nation sees if the two sides find compromise or more conflict. I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. Now with more CBS News, here's Frank Settapani.
Last week's heavy snow in parts of the country could be part of the reason, or maybe it's just the economy. Either way, 496,000 people filed new unemployment claims, 22,000 more than the week before. Economist DeLaw Smith.
This number should be much, much lower. Just shows that the job situation is very sticky.
On the other hand, January factory orders posted the best gain in 6 months. SeaWorld is looking for ways to prevent a repeat of the killer whale attack yesterday that took the life of a trainer in Orlando. Chuck Tompkins, one of the company officials investigating the incident, says SeaWorld knew the whale had killed people twice before.
We were very careful, and we tried to set up an environment where the trainers were ultimately safe. Now, obviously, we need to evaluate that and make sure we make any changes so this never happens again.
Half a foot of snow, a foot, 2 feet, maybe more. Another mean storm is pushing into the northeast, and salt trucks are already out. Greg Snyder is the New Jersey Director of Public Works.
We're anticipating this is the big one. That's the other issue we have to be concerned, that is that it could be a 48-hour storm.
A bad apple may have allowed bad tomatoes to reach dinner tables. Live to CBS's Steve Kathan, exactly how?
Well, an ingredient buyer for Kraft Foods took bribes to let tomatoes from a California food processor into products found on store shelves all over. Some have mold or other problems.
As a consumer, I wouldn't care to have a lot of mold in my tomato products, simply because it probably wouldn't taste as good.
Food safety expert Michael Doyle says it's not an isolated case. Purchasing managers at other top brands have pleaded guilty to receiving bribes. Leaders are on the trail of others. Frank,
the Vermont Yankee nuclear plant has been leaking radioactive tritium, and its owners have been accused of misleading regulators. Now a state Senate vote could force the plant to shut down in 2012. Some Vermonters say it won't be missed.
It's been going for now 38 years, and it has problems, and I think it's time they retire the plant.
S&P futures are down 11 points. This is CBS News.
You ever see those people on game shows who know the answer to everything? Russian poets, most popular dog breeds, number of stitches on a baseball, bam. The answer is always at their fingertips. Well, Intuit QuickBooks Online can make you just like that with your small business. Who owes you? Your biggest expenses? How much you made last month? Wham, wham, wham. The subject is your business, and you're a genius. Intuit QuickBooks Online lets you see all your business place and lets you get to it anytime, anywhere. Get a 30-day free trial at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
Thanks for calling Sears Automotive Center.
Can you fix my car?
Well, at Sears, our ASE certified blue automotive crew mechanics know cars inside and out. We'll find the problem and give you the best price, guaranteed.
Brakes.
Yes.
Tires.
Yep.
Struts.
Of course.
Oil changes.
Totally.
Helsinki smash rod.
You just made that word up, sir.
You're good.
Right now, save on all Goodyear tires. Plus, get $80 cash back by mail with a purchase of 4 Goodyear tires before the 28th. And diehard automotive battery $69.99. Visit SearsAuto.com to learn more. Sears, life well spent.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Bail is set at $1 million for the man accused of shooting two students at Deer Creek Middle School. Brusso Eastwood was arraigned of attempted murder yesterday, accused of opening fire in the parking lot. Jeffco Sheriff spokeswoman Jackie Kelly says they're still learning about Eastwood's background.
The suspect who's in custody was a student at Deer Creek Middle School in the early 90s, which helps explain at least a little bit about why this school, although it certainly doesn't answer why at all that this occurred.
Eastwood has been in trouble with the law before on a number of different charges. Some snags yesterday in the murder trial of the man accused of shooting Denver Bronco Darrant Williams. Two witnesses have been jailed for refusing to testify. Another witness who did take the stand yesterday had a lapse of memory. Taisha Finch told police 3 years ago that Willie Clark punched her while in the nightclub that started the fight leading up to the murder. But yesterday, she could not identify Clark in the courtroom. In sports, Colorado Springs figure skater Rachel Flatt heads into tonight's ladies' free skate, two spots away, from an Olympic medal. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Aaron O'Neill with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
And here come those stop-and-go delays. Southbound I-25 this morning, starting back at 120th down through 84th Avenue. Nothing out of the ordinary there. Packed in across downtown about I-70 through Spear. Even northbound I-25, a little busy coming up and over the Broadway Bridge to Alameda before things open up. A little bit of a delay crossing Aurora northbound. 225 slow from Parker Road up past southbound side, starting to fill in now from just after Parker. Clear down towards that Denver Tech Center merge. No big problems on the drive here in the metro area. It's out on the eastern plains. This overturned westbound I-70 near Agate, mile marker 340. At one time it blocked the highway completely. It looks like one lane of traffic. Traffic now getting through, dealing with about 2 to 3 miles of backups coming in from the eastern plains. I'm Aaron O'Neill, AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Right now on Examiner.com, their Denver Olympics Examiner gives you the skinny on early successes for Team USA in Vancouver. Gold, silver, bronze. They'll never make it through the metal detector on the flight back. Connect with what you love at Examiner.com.
Wake up on the bright side at La Quinta Inns and Suites with free high-speed internet, free breakfast, and a comfy bed. With thousands of new rooms, La Quinta is even better than before. Book now at LQ.com or 800-SLEEP-LQ.
La Quinta.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
You're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Wow! 706 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Busy show for you coming up today. All right, at 720, we were going to do this yesterday, but the school shooting down at Deer Creek Middle School wiped everything off of our schedule yesterday. So at 7:20, we're going to do a check-in. I figure we're going to do a once-a-month check-in with our show's resident Lost expert, ABC's Lost, the final season. I know a lot of you watch it. So at 7:20, we're going to do a little check-in about where we are on ABC's Lost. And some people have been disappointed by the show. Other people have been psyched about the show. Turk, how are you feeling about the show?
I'm liking it, man. I mean, I'm still completely lost and trying to figure out what that, that tower was all about in the last one.
I know. You know what's annoying me about the show is that it keeps, like, the show ends and it's like, your questions will be answered.
I know,
like, the time for questions.
I've been waiting for my questions to be answered for like three, four seasons.
I know. It's like, the time for questions is over. No, it's not. You keep asking new questions.
It is. It's really frustrating, but I'm glued, man.
Yeah,
I'm glued. And I think
there.
A lot of America is as well.
Yeah. So once a month, we're going to check in with David Lavery, who has written a book on Lost. So we'll check in with him at 7:20. At 8, University of Colorado at Boulder's Professor Jeff Sachs, who we've had on this show before. He was the tax expert quoted in the Denver Post a couple days ago about what constitutes rich and middle class in this state. He makes the claim that the wealthy in our state and in general delude themselves. So we'll talk to him at 8 about that. Then at 8:30, Republican Colorado Springs Representative Mark Waller, he is co-sponsoring the bill in the legislature to focus more resources on drug rehabilitation and lessen the penalties, really serious criminal justice reform here on drug policy, lessening the penalties for possession. So he is a Republican from Colorado Springs. He'll be in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo at 8:30. Last night, boy, a lot of news last night. A couple things I want to mention, throw out there in this first hour. The killer whale killing. I'm sure you've seen this. A killer whale out at SeaWorld kills his trainer and the circumstances about what happened, unclear. The killer whale, I guess she was in the pool with him and he ended up killing her.
It wasn't the first time this whale had killed somebody either.
It was not the first time, no.
I think it was like the third.
The third, well, yeah. He had killed somebody up in Canada, I believe. Oh, is that right? I think the first one up in Canada.
What I had heard was that there had been two different prior deaths before.
Well, the other one,
back like 1991.
The second one was somebody snuck into SeaWorld and jumped into the pool.
Well, yeah, that's
I mean, that's really stupid.
But still, it killed three people.
And so now there's this talk, well, what do you do with the killer whale? And you can't put it, you really can't put it back in the wild because it's obviously not been domesticated, but it's been living not in the wild. My take on this is pretty straightforward. It's called a killer whale. It's a wild animal. And wherever you come down on whether you think SeaWorld is a humane thing to do, to have, a humane idea, where we're going to put these wild animals in captivity and they're going to entertain us, wherever you come down on whether you think that's okay or not, I don't think you can be angry at the whale. Or not understand that this is, from time to time, probably going to happen when you're dealing with killer whales. And so the idea that the whale should be put down or executed, I think, is totally outrageous. Right? I mean, it's sort of an occupational hazard. If you're going to have a SeaWorld, and you're going to particularly play with killer whales, then this is something you should be ready for. It's kind of like Siegfried and Roy. They're playing with white tigers. Like, can you really be angry at the tiger for going out, accidentally or whether it was on purpose, going after one of those guys? These are wild animals. And as an aside, I find the whole SeaWorld concept really grotesque. We're going to trap wild animals, not just in a zoo, and I don't like zoos very much either, but we're going to trap wild animals not just for people to see them, but to actually entertain us. I just find that really, really grotesque. And this whole idea that we need to kill the killer whale, I find that particularly grotesque. Turk, do you agree or disagree? We didn't talk about this yet.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. I don't think that the animal should be put down. I don't know exactly what you do with it because it's probably pretty unsafe to put another trainer in with it. And my kids have been to SeaWorld. And I've taken my
I've
kids
been
to
SeaWorld. I was at SeaWorld when I was a kid.
And I've taken my kids to the zoo. And it's a hard decision to, where you land on, protection of animals and how inhumane it is. And obviously, I think the whale, like you said, it's a killer whale.
I mean the first word is killer.
Yeah, it's a hazard of the job.
Right, exactly.
What do you do? Close down the SeaWorlds?
Well, I don't know. I mean, for one thing you could do is not have, you could have seals and dolphins there and not have killer whales. Not that seals and dolphins can't do damage, but a killer whale certainly can do more damage more quickly than a porpoise or a seal.
And I mean, just imagine all these kids that were, on hand yesterday and saw this.
Well, you know what? It must be traumatic, but it's a good lesson, right?
Yeah.
It's a wild animal.
Wild animals can hurt you.
Absolutely.
It's like the Jake Jabs commercials, him playing around with the tigers.
Right.
Just waiting for that tiger one time to just switch and just,
Well, it's like the guy who was the crocodile guy who the crocodiles.
Yeah, and then was killed. Yes, exactly.
I mean, this is what happens.
Right.
And actually, that I'll just play that sound.
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you... That's what happens. You see what happens, Larry?
This is what happens when you try to turn wild animals into entertainers. I wonder what you think about that. 303-713-7600. We'll take calls after we talk to David Lavery about Lost in our next segment. The other issue I want to throw out there, the President's Healthcare Summit, of course, obviously the big national news of the day. Will there be any progress? What do you think? I don't think there will be any progress. I think the president, having taken the public option off the table, was a huge mistake as a matter of negotiation. And it seems like Democrats in Congress are, at least in the House, are getting their spine. There was this intense interaction on the floor of the House yesterday. The House voting to repeal the health insurance industry's antitrust exemption. The health insurance industry is one of the only industries that has exemption from antitrust laws. Colorado Democrats among those voting for it in the House. But the debate got very intense. And here is a clip. You can find it on our website to see the whole clip, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. But here is the audio. You got to hear this of Congressman Anthony Weiner on the floor of the House. He's a Democrat from New York, talking about the Republicans and health care.
You know, you got to love these Republicans. I mean, you guys have chutzpah. The Republican Party is a wholly owned subsidiary of an insurance industry. That's the fact. They say that, well, this isn't going to do enough. But when we propose an alternative to provide competition, they're against it. They say that, well, we want to strengthen state insurance commissioners and they'll do the job. But when we did that in our national health care bill, they said, we're against it. They said they want to have competition, and when we proposed requiring competition, the Republicans are against it. They are a wholly owned subsidiary of the insurance industry. That's the fact. And
Mr.
now
Speaker,
they stand
Mr.
up
Speaker,
and say that,
Mr. Speaker, I ask the gentleman's words be taken down.
Oh. You really don't want to go here, Mr. Lundgren.
The gentleman will suspend. Gentleman from New York will please take a seat.
So that's the Republicans' objection.
The clerk will report the words. The gentleman seeking unanimous consent to withdraw his words.
I request unanimous consent to substitute other words.
That would involve a withdrawal. There's a gentleman withdrawing.
Request unanimous consent to withdraw my words.
Is there objection to the request? Objection so ordered. Gentleman from New York is recognized.
Make no mistake about it. Every single Republican I have ever met in my entire life is a wholly owned subsidiary of the insurance industry. That is why Americans...
Mr. Speaker, I ask the gentleman's words be taken down once more.
I will suspend. Gentleman from Oregon has 2 minutes and 50 seconds remaining.
Okay. Well,
I thank you very much. Look, the point is very simple. There are inequities in the present way we distribute insurance, the way we distribute health care. There are winners and there are losers. The winners are the insurance industry. And our efforts to reel in the insurance profits, not just because they shouldn't make profits, they're doing what they're supposed to. But what they're doing is driving up taxes, they're driving our economy into the ground, and we need competition and choice to deal with that. That's what this legislation does, and the motion to recommit undermines it. And I've heard a couple of times today, well, we have an effort for bipartisanship here. No, there is not bipartisanship on this fundamental issue. And that is the people who sit on this side, at the risk of offending anyone, generally support the idea of standing up for the American people in their daily battles against high insurance. And the people, generally speaking, who sit on this side of the chamber, and specifically speaking as well in a lot of cases, simply won't permit that to happen and haven't for a generation. Well, that's going to end now. That is going to end because we are going to have competition, we are going to make sure that there are regulations, and we're going to make sure that the American people aren't gouged. That's what the American people stand for. And time again, people say, well, I don't really mind this bill, I just want to weaken it to the point that it's meaningless. And then I've heard my good friend from Texas say, well, this doesn't do anything, but every single time we've tried to do something, like a tiny sliver of competition called the public option, said, no, we can't withstand competition, we can't have that. Enough of the phoniness. We are going to solve this problem because for years our Republican friends have been unable to and unwilling to deal with it.
So that was Congressman Anthony Weiner.
For those remarks.
That was Congressman Anthony Weiner yesterday on the floor of the House previewing what is definitely going to be at least a media spectacle on healthcare today, the President's Healthcare Summit. I wonder what you think about that. Is there going to be any progress or not? We can take your calls on that. 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. We got open lines if you want to weigh in on the killer whale killing yesterday. Do you think the whale should be put down, or is this something people should expect when they are trying to turn wild animals into entertainers? And then healthcare, again, you just heard Congressman Anthony Weiner on the floor of the House yesterday previewing the debate that will surely emerge from the President's healthcare summit with Republicans today. Do you think there will be any progress? If so, why? If not, why not? 303-713-7600. Open lines right now. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave. Do you have an accident at the end of the ramp from eastbound 6th Avenue on to northbound I-25? It's just kind of sitting there out of traffic, but it's slowing folks down on northbound 25 between Emerson Street and 6th Avenue. Also stop and go southbound side of 25 in North Glen and Thornton, again downtown after Park Avenue. Also out east, one lane now getting past that overturned semi, westbound I-70 in Agate at mile marker 340. Backups going 2 to 3 miles long. Detours are in place. Your forecast, mostly cloudy, snow showers late this afternoon, just about an inch or two in the metro, 2 to 4 in the foothills. Should be relatively warm, though, today with a high around 47. Right now, 35 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores. Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores. Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores.
3 years in a row, and it still sounds sweet. Get in, get help, get on with your life at Ace, the helpful place. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Visit your neighborhood Ace hardware store today.
Performs the first time and every time, guaranteed. Just take Zencore 45 minutes before sexual activity and you'll experience powerful results. In fact, we are so sure you'll love Zencore's tremendous results that we want to send you a free sample so you can try Zencore for yourself. Once you try it, there's no doubt that you will become one of Zencore's thousands of satisfied customers.
Find out how to get your free supply of Zencore before it's too late. Call 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986. Size does matter. Don't miss out on your free supply. 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986.
So what are your main business goals this year? To increase sales and control expenses? Yes, this is the year that everyone is getting back to business basics. That's why at Valpak, we say this is the year of substance over style. And the year to ensure that your marketing not only looks good, but works well. From our famous blue envelopes to our new online tools, Valpak has what it takes to make this year your year. To learn more, call 800-4-VALPAK, V-A-L-P-A-K.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. Get a $1,400 Raccoon Creek Golf Course VIP card for only $195. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
Wake up on the bright side at La Quinta Inns and Suites with free high-speed internet, free breakfast, and a comfy bed. With thousands of new rooms, La Quinta is even better than before. Book now at LQ.com or 800-SLEEP-LQ.
La Quinta.
722 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to be taking your calls in just a few about this killer whale killing yesterday. Some people saying the whale should be put down. I think that's absolutely outrageous. The whale is a wild animal. What do you expect to happen when you confine a wild animal called a killer whale in a pool and try to turn it into basically a big toy? You can't really be surprised that at certain points it freaks out. And this whole brings up the whole issue of the humanity or inhumanity of zoos and places like SeaWorld. I wonder if you think I'm my views on that are a little too radical. I find those places really gross. I find them treating animals like objects. He treats objects like women, man. That just popped into my mind. That was from the Big Lebowski. So we'll take your calls about that and about the upcoming healthcare summit in just a few minutes. But first, on the line with us now, rescheduled from yesterday, is David Lavery. He's the co-author of Lost's Buried Treasure, the unofficial guide to everything Lost fans need to know. We're going to have him on about once every month in the lead up to the finale of Lost. It's the final season of Lost. And so we just want to do an update on where we are. David Lavery, thanks for taking the time this morning. Okay, so what questions on Lost do you think so far have been answered?
Well, it's interesting that the ABC ad campaign says the time for questions is
That's
over.
What I'm saying. I don't see any. The time for questions has just begun, it seems like.
Well, I think I said last time I was on here that we were probably never going to find out the answer to some things. You know, what is the island? You know, we're probably never really, really going to know that.
But what about who is Jacob, or what is Jacob, and what's the smoke monster?
Well, we know the smoke monster has another identity, right? We know that he is Locke.
Right. Well, he's fake Locke. I call him Flock.
Flock is good. I like Jeff Jensen's the Loch Ness monster.
The Loch Ness monster. Okay, right. So we know the smoke monster is representing his avatar is Locke.
Well, more than that, he is the man in black, the Jacob's nemesis.
Right. Okay. And we know that. And we know that Jacob. We knew this earlier, that Jacob was killed, but Jacob keeps popping up like he hasn't been killed.
Well, he keeps popping up to Hurley because Hurley can see the dead.
That's right.
I mean, we know now why they were planning that ability. You know, earlier in the series.
In fairness, it wasn't clear Hurley. You didn't know if Hurley was had a mental illness and he was hallucinating, but really what you're finding out now is he really can see the dead.
That's right, right. Better than Miles in a way because the dead actually appear to him.
Right.
I mean, look at the this week's episode. It is because he can see Jacob that he stands up to the samurai. I just told off a samurai, or at least says.
Right. but do you think, here's a question, do you think Jacob's dead, or do you think he's like Jack? I mean, like Jack's father keeps sort of appearing every now and again, or has, you know, I mean, he has in the house, and Jack's father.
But Jack's father is a different kettle of fish. He is like Jack's sister, Claire. It has clearly been taken over by the smoke monster.
Oh, you think Jack's father is the smoke monster, that's how the smoke monster represents himself to Jack.
Right. He has been claimed in the term that Dogan introduced in the first episode of the season. And, of course, we found out at the very end of this week's episode that Claire's friend is in fact the Loch Ness Monster.
Right. So Claire has basically been claimed too.
Right. They're both claimed. They're both on the dark side. I mean, clearly we wouldn't. Claire, that was not the Claire we used to know.
Now I have to stop you there. We're talking about the dark side, the light side. Here's the one question I have. I mean, at one point you have Sawyer and fake Locke in the cave. That was this big scene. I thought it was actually a pretty cool scene, right?
It was cool.
It was really cool. And then you have this. They're in the cave, and there's various characters' names crossed out. And some of them not crossed out. And the fake Locke is really making the case that actually Jacob's the evil one. We don't really know who's the good guy and the bad guy here.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think we know very well. I think people are, you know, I think people are confusing, and I don't mean to accuse here, but people are confusing the fact that they really like Terry O'Quinn and really want him not to be evil, but the evidence, I think, is overwhelming.
Terry O'Quinn, of course, the actor who plays John Locke.
Who plays Locke.
Who I think is acting circles around almost everybody, scene that he's in.
Absolutely, with the possible exception of Holloway, who's doing a great job as Sawyer, too.
Yeah, you're right, that's right.
But when you look at the range that Terry O'Quinn gets to exhibit, he was complaining back in season two, quite openly in interviews, that he didn't like what they were doing with the character. Because he didn't give him any challenges. But he can't be thinking that now, because right now he's got the widest range of any actor in show business.
He is so good on that show. I mean, he is so...
Those evil smiles.
Those smiles. I mean, he is stunning. And you know what I always think back to? Do you remember his role in the movie Old School? He plays Luke Wilson's sort of angry, tough guy boss.
Okay. And, of course, he was the stepfather, too, the original stepfather. That's how he was introduced to all of us. I mean, that's the first time I ever saw him in anything.
The show The Stepfather?
No, the movie Stepfather that the...
I haven't seen it.
That the remake was...
Oh, I see. I see. The guy is just a fantastic.
He can do evil. I mean, he can really do evil.
He can. Let me remind folks who you are. David Lavery is on the line with us. He is the author of the book Lost Buried Treasure: The Unofficial Guide to Everything Lost Fans Need to Know. We're going to check in with him about once every month for the next couple months until Lost is over in May. What are the next series of questions that you think are going to be answered or need to be answered?
I think within we're certainly going to understand the temple by next week, because next week's episode is called Sundown, and we already had the feeling that there was going to be a big battle scene, and now it's been confirmed because they've posted stills from next week on the internet.
Okay, so there's going to be a big battle scene.
Remember that that Jacob told Hurley that something very evil was coming to the temple, and Hurley said, "I've got to warn them," and Jacob said, "It's already too late."
Yeah.
So while they're away from the temple, conveniently, because the only one of the original Losties who's in the temple at the moment is Saeed.
That's right.
And
who may be claimed.
Who may be claimed, but here's my pet theory. I did this on my blog this morning. I think that Jacob has given Saeed special powers, and I think next time we talk, we'll find out how off base I am.
I'm going to hold you to it.
Okay, the smoke monster is going to attack the temple next week. That's
that we know.
By sundown, or so it's a Western.
Can I ask one last question? Because I have a theory. Is it me or has Jack in the alternate reality where the plane lands and we see his son? Yeah. I think there's going to be a big reveal about who Jack's wife is. I think it's going to be somebody who's going to blow our mind.
They clearly withheld it.
Yes, they withheld it. It's going to be somebody who's going to blow our mind.
But notice what's happening. The fan prediction is Juliet.
That might be true. That totally could be true. But here's my question. He has indicated a couple times that he's having kind of deja vu. Or not deja vu, when he's not having deja vu, it's like he can't really remember some things. Right. He's asked a couple questions in that reality, like he was like something about an accident with his kid or was it? Remember, he was talking to his mom. He said, "I can't remember when I got my appendix out," or something like that.
And you would think that he could remember that it was in one of the worst episodes ever of the show that he had his appendix taken.
Yeah, right. So I feel like they're sort of suggesting that the alternate reality has a connection to the island reality.
Right. I'm still predicting, and I'll go out on a limb here, too, that eventually at the end of the season that will become the reality, and it will have become the reality because of what we're seeing in the island reality.
The alternate reality and the island reality will become one
and
the same.
And notice that they're all being nicely redeemed.
Oh.
They're all turning out. Locke is no longer angry. Jack reconciles with the son.
That's an interesting theory. All right.
I think we're headed to a wedding, by the way, because remember, Locke is scheduled to get
married. That's right. He wasn't scheduled to get married in the old reality.
Who's the biggest wedding organizer in California? Boone and Shannon's father.
That's right. That's good, man. You are the Lost expert.
And the final episode of the series takes place on my daughter's wedding day.
Oh, well, congratulations in advance to your daughter. That's pretty cool for a Lost expert.
She's a big Lost fan, so she's kind of disappointed because she's going
to
miss it.
Yeah, she's going to have to miss it. That's right. All right, David Lavery's website, if you want to check in on his theories, davidlavery.net, his book, Lost Buried Treasure, The Unofficial Guide to Everything Lost Fans Need to Know. David, good to talk to you. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Talk to you again in a month.
All right, good.
Bye-bye.
All right, 7:33 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, the killer whale, the healthcare summit. We're going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, take your calls, see what you think about it. Do you think the whale should be put down? Do you think this should be a wake-up call to us about what zoos, and particularly not just zoos, but SeaWorlds are really all about, and maybe make us ask some questions about whether they are humane and actually safe at all? 303-713-7600. And again, the upcoming healthcare summit today with President Obama and the Republicans, do you think it'll make any progress at all? Again, 303-713-7600. After the break, I'll also fill you in on Michael Bennett making a little bit more news on the bailout. Later on in the broadcast, Jane Norton, the Republican Senate candidate, getting herself into a little bit of trouble. All that after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave, still got this accident. It's on the end of the ramp from eastbound 6th onto northbound I-25. That's slowing folks down coming on northbound I-25 between Hamden and 6th Avenue. Also, stop and go southbound 225 and Aurora Parker Road down to the 25 merge. Other crashes, northbound Lincoln at 13th. Also, a minor crash, Federal and Mississippi. Out to the east, one lane now getting past that overturned semi. It's on the westbound side of I-70 at mile marker 340 in Agate. Backups still about 2 to 3 miles long. Detours are set up for you folks coming in from the eastern plains. Forecast today, mostly cloudy, breezy, highs in the mid-upper 40s. Light snow showers late this afternoon. Little accumulation in the city, just about an inch. Our current downtown temperature, 35 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
We all have a unique groove. What's yours? For your next new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, find it at Groove Toyota and Groove Subaru on Broadway. And now, Groove Mazda and Groove Ford on Arapahoe. Or visit them at grooveautomotive.com.
Now, Mr. Reuter gives you options because plumbing isn't optional. Leaking water lines or busted drain lines in your home? Mr. Reuter works with all insurance carriers. Let us take the worry and workload off you. We fix your problem right the first time. No service fee, always an exact written price quote, no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays, and 90 days, same as cash. Member Better Business Bureau, Tom Martino and Team Dave Logan. Call Mr. Reuter at 720-542-6000. That's 720-542-6000.
I'm Scott O'Sullivan of the O'Sullivan Law Firm. There are things that you need to know if you are hurt in an accident. Like if the other driver's insurance company calls to ask you questions about the accident, do not give them permission to record the call. They will find a way to use it against you. For more tips on what to do after an accident, find me at O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. That's O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. Or call me at 303-388-5304.
Hi, it's David Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepalese, and Tibetan cuisine. Family owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30 7 days a week, and they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill, theyakandyeti.com.
And America's Newsroom. Results are guaranteed. If you want to lose weight, you are eligible to participate in this market trial. Senza has not yet been released to stores, so for your 30-day free trial, you must call this number now. 1-800-377-9636. That's 1-800-377-9636.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Michael Bennett making a little bit of news today. The Fort Collins, Coloradan, reporting that he is making particular news on bailout issues. The headline, Bennett leads push for bailout returns to pay down the deficit. Bennett is leading a bipartisan effort to require that the new federal budget mandate that repaid bailout money go to reducing the budget deficit rather than being spent on new programs. Bennett authored legislation to that effect last year, but the bill hasn't made it out of committee. In a conference call with Colorado reporters yesterday, Bennett said he and the Senate sponsors of the bill are asking Senate budget leaders to include the provision in the next federal budget. Frankly, I think this is a very silly piece of legislation. I'm glad that he is getting serious about reining in the bailouts and recovering the money. but saying that it's going to go to deficit reduction at a time of economic crisis, it just doesn't make any sense, economics 101. If we learned anything from the Great Depression, it was that we were on our way out of the Great Depression with that Keynesian boost of spending. And then when Franklin Roosevelt in 1937 listened to Republicans and said, all right, we're going to make our priority deficit reduction, he created a mini recession within the Depression. That's a matter of just empirical fact. And the idea that the government should reduce its spending instead of spend countercyclically to help us get out of this out of this recession is just silly. It does not make any fundamental economic sense. Michael Bennett, I think, trying to play a little bit to the Tea Party people who claim, of course, that they're for deficit reduction. Meanwhile, you never hear any of them talk about trying to reduce spending, talk about trying to make our tax system more fair, talk about any of the issues that David K. Johnston yesterday mentioned, right, about how the richest Americans who make $350 million a year on average are paying just 16% in income tax. So I think this is just a very political and very silly move on the merits, if you actually look at it as a matter of public policy. 7:39 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, we're going to go to the phones, 303-713-7600. This killer whale killing yesterday, some people are saying the whale needs to be put down. I say that's outrageous. You lock an animal up and you try to turn it into a plaything. You can't be surprised that the animal at certain times goes not even crazy. It's not even going crazy. It's just doing what it would do in nature. Right? These are wild animals. What part of killer whale don't people understand? And I ask the bigger question, should this make us question the humanity or inhumanity of places like Zoos and SeaWorld? I find them, and I went to SeaWorld as a kid, and I've been to zoos as a kid, of course. But as I've gotten older, I've started thinking, you know, these are beings. We're putting them effectively in a jail cell. And in SeaWorld's case, making them entertainers. I wonder what you think. 303-713-7600. Also, we played this clip from Anthony Weiner, the congressman from New York. It's on our website. Go check it out. You will love it, I promise. AM760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Previewing this healthcare summit coming up. In a debate on the floor of the House yesterday, do you think there's going to be any progress in this healthcare debate? Again, that's at AM760.net. We'll go to the phones now. Let's go to Shelley and Parker. Hey, Shelley.
Hi. I agree with you. A killer whale should not be put down. I don't think they should be captured and used for entertainment. I think it's cruel. I think zoos are cruel. My opinion is to shut all of them down. I've been there, too, and it's not right. Also, I just want to make you're aware, if you're not, of what they're doing to all our wild horses, how they're rounding them up.
Yeah, I know about it.
It's very cruel. I called the Bureau of Land Management. We're spending $35 million a year doing this. It's ridiculous. And a mother and a baby died in the roundup. The black stallion, I don't know if you're aware of what happened to him. He tried to get out, and he finally jumped out the six-foot fence, and he cut himself up in the barbed wire. Why they have that around, I don't know. But we all need to protest this. This is...
Yeah, and
there's not going to be any left.
And I hope that the situation with the wild horses, I hope the situation with the killer whale, makes people think a little bit about how we do treat animals in this society. I mean, this is the issue that really so many people never even think about. And I think the reason that they don't think about it is because once you start thinking about it, it opens up this whole world of other things you got to think about. Right, you got to start thinking about leather, and you got to start thinking about your food. And I think it's important to think about these things. And I know there are probably conservatives out there listening, saying, "Oh, Sirota's just a tree hugger," you know. "Oh, he's just a whiny, bleeding heart liberal." Well, if you think that, give us a call 303-713-7600 and explain why we should treat animals like commodities. And actually, the SeaWorld thing is even worse. It's not even like a commodity. Right, it's one thing to use an animal for food, for sustenance. It's another thing to use it as just an entertainer. I mean, I would like to hear somebody defend that. Hey, Shelley, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mark in Aurora. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Yeah, hi.
Fire away.
Hello. Hi, David. Yeah, this is Mark. I was just on a trip last summer where we went up to Victoria Island, where you can actually view the killer whale in their natural habitat. You go out on a boat.
I've been up in Victoria. It's beautiful up there.
And one of the things people need to know is the name killer has nothing to do with killing in the normal sense of the word. It's that they eat salmon. I mean, other whales are plankton eaters and vegetarians, basically, and the killer whale it feeds
off. I didn't mean to ascribe a motive to it. The word killer implies what it's capable of.
Yeah, but killing for food. We could
right.
be called the killer humans if you wanted to. I mean, because we eat cows, and I mean, you know, so maybe we should be called the killer humans.
I didn't even think about that. That's interesting. The whale, if the whale could speak. And the whale could watch us. The whale would say, hey, you guys, if I'm a killer whale, you guys are killer humans.
Yeah, exactly. And there are, you know, are other places to see animals in their natural habitat. You know, you can go on safari trips into Africa and see the lions and the elephants and giraffes. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of better alternatives than. And these are very big animals. I really doubt that this animal had any intention on killing this human being. It's just, you know, elephants, they're just large, very wild animals.
That's right. And then when you mention elephants, I mean, when you start looking at some of the video footage out there about how they treat other animals in the entertainment world, elephants in the circus, even if the elephant or the killer whale knew what they've at times done to trainers, it's hard to still blame them. Right, I mean, you're going to ascribe blame. You lock a wild animal up in a effectively into slavery. Are you really going to blame the animal for at times kind of freaking out? I don't think you can. Hey, Mark, thanks for the call. Paul in Fort Collins. Hey, Paul.
Hi, David. Nice to talk to you. I definitely come down on the side of the killer whale. These are magnificent creatures with brains probably larger than ours. Very intelligent. With sonar systems that would blow away anything the Navy has.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you take these creatures and put them in a concrete tank, they do go crazy. They lose their, you know, their ability to reason. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie or the documentary called The Cove by Rick O'Berry. Rick O'Berry was the dolphin trainer for the television series Flipper. And so he caught and trained dolphin at that time, but what turned him was when one of the dolphin came up to him, and unlike human, where we are automatic breathers,
mm-hmm.
dolphins breathe, consciously. They have to decide to breathe. And the one dolphin came up to him and took a breath, looked him in the eye, and didn't take another one. Basically committed suicide. But the Cove is a documentary about the capture of dolphin in this cove in Taiji, Japan. It's very.
I will definitely check that movie out. I mean, I am one of these people, and you know, we're going to be talking about criminal justice reform as an example. I'm one of these people who thinks that for instance, our criminal justice system is inhumane to humans. But when we start getting into the area of mistreatment of animals, I find myself. Getting in touch with a part of me that's very, very passionately angry at people who would mistreat animals. And then when you start asking the questions about, again, institutional mistreatment of animals, like at a place like a zoo or a SeaWorld, and I'm sure there are people out there who are going to say, look, you know, some of these animals in zoos get treated better than they would be treated in nature. And you could make that argument, but is it really our right to play God? Right? And so this issue, this death of this killer whale trainer, I think it should make us start to consider at least, what are we doing turning animals into entertainers? What societal value does this really have? Paul, I will check out that movie. Great call. 747 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, take a couple more of your calls and fill you in on Republican Senate candidate Jane Norton getting attacked by the side of the equation. Also, she's kind of bringing on those attacks by saying that the jobs bill that the Senate just passed wasn't big enough, not enough government spending. Fill you in on that. Take a couple more of your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is starting to bunch up for us in a couple different spots, but nothing we're not using. I-25, southbound side, 120th to 84th end from 58th past Spear. Both stretches showing speeds in the teens and 20s. Northbound side bunched up from Bellevue to 6th Avenue. We had an accident on the end of the ramp from eastbound 6th onto northbound I-25, causing these backups. Also busy in Aurora, southbound 225 between Parker Road and the 25 merge. Two surface street accidents, Lincoln and 13th, and Federal in Mississippi. The forecast, mostly cloudy, snow showers late this afternoon. Just about an inch or two in the metro, 2 to 4 inches in the foothills. Should be relatively warm, though, with a high of 47. Right now, 35 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Denver Emergency Center for Children at Denver Health provides urgent and emergency care for children in the heart of Denver 24/7. Denver Health, 150 years of providing level one care for all. DenverHealth.org. That's DenverHealth.org.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores. Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores. Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores.
3 years in a row, and it still sounds sweet. Get in, get help, get on with your life at Ace, the helpful place. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Visit your neighborhood Ace hardware store today.
165 points right now.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's not good. The Dow, the NASDAQ's down 35 and the S&P is down 17 and a half. Concerns again raised over Greece's debt and their inability to service their debt. But real quickly here, let me tell you something. Couple, Dorothy and Stan, married for 21 years. Stan had not attended properly to filling out forms, and his blended family got all messed up when he passed away unexpectedly in November of last year. Now his wife is basically left without the money she needs or the funds she needs to live, but he left the money there. It's all screwed up because paperwork was screwed up. We're going to have a workshop on how to fix that and make sure your paperwork isn't screwed up. It's a free workshop. It's the 13th and the 16th of March. We'd love to have you give us join us on that. Give us a call at Presidential Brokers to get more information and sign up. Again, it's a free workshop, nothing to sell. But please don't leave your loved ones in this situation if you pass away unexpectedly. And most people frequently don't expect to pass away when they do.
It's a really good point. And tax time is in particular a time where you can really kill two birds with one stone, not to use two more bit of metaphor when you're looking at your paperwork anyway. Give the team at Presidential Brokerage a call, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600 for that free workshop. Mike, it's good to have you back. We'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
Thanks, David.
You filed for divorce yourself. Now you're wondering how to get some advice. Get your questions answered Sundays on Talking Divorce with Peggy Spiro. Straight facts from attorneys, financial experts, and mental health experts each Sunday. Because we're Talking Divorce Sundays from 11 to noon, right here on AM 760.
I could change the world. 752 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're getting a couple of your instant messages here. We're going to read them in a second, and we're going to take a couple more of your calls on the killer whale issue. The killer whale, of course, yesterday at SeaWorld killing its trainer, raising a whole debate about whether we should be using these animals as entertainers. But first, I want to update you on the Colorado Senate race on the Republican side. Jane Norton is being attacked by one of her far right wing primary opponents. And as remember, I mentioned, we're going to be having a tax discussion in the next hour. I mentioned that taxes is going to be my bet is the central formative issue of the election here in state in 2010. And this ad against Jane Norton makes me think that I'm right. Listen to this ad.
Higher taxes, bigger government. That's Jane Norton's record in Colorado. But now she's claiming to be a conservative.
Fact is, Jane Norton Health has the largest tax increase in Colorado history, costing you thousands of dollars. As an appointed bureaucrat, Jane Norton even worked to grow the size of government by millions more. Higher taxes, bigger government. Ask Jane Norton to come clean on her liberal record and tell her Coloradans just can't afford any more of her big government excuses.
So this is where the political debate is going. There were advocacy for her endorsement of Referendum C, which rolled back Tabor just a little bit. They're calling that a huge tax increase, trying to polarize the debate. Norton making some headlines yesterday on Fox News. She was saying that the jobs bill that the Senate passed, she opposes it because it wasn't big enough. So Jane Norton sort of twisting all over the place. She aired an attack ad a couple, last week against President Obama, says he was spending too much. Now she's saying the jobs bill that passed the Senate yesterday doesn't spend enough. Jane Norton, I'm telling you, she is a weaker candidate than everyone thinks. And I swear, I'm telling you, she is all over the map. I am really not impressed with her. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now. We're going to get to Tristan, Mark, and Ali if we can, all before we got to get the national news. All right, Tristan in Denver. Hey, Tristan, how you doing? Hello, Tristan. Okay, Tristan is not there. We'll go to Mark. Hey, Mark. Mark in Arvada.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Okay, basically this is where I disagree with a lot of progressives on animals. Because the line you took was that we have to think about where leather comes from and meat now, our food. We're omnivores. We eat both. Our body's designed to eat and digest both. Do we eat too much meat in our lives? Probably. But we're still omnivores. We're not vegetarians.
Well, I don't know. Have you had a conversation with God and he told you that we have to eat meat?
I've had a conversation with science and biology.
So according to Mark in Arvada, in order for humans to stay alive, they have to eat meat.
In order to be completely healthy, we need a small amount.
We need to eat meat.
We don't need as much as we
eat. You can't be healthy as a vegetarian or a vegan. Not possible, right?
Not as healthy, no.
No, you can't be as healthy being a vegetarian as being a meat eater.
And this is based on
Mark from Arvada's science.
This is based on science.
Which science, Mark?
Stop for a second. Because the whole vegetarian thing was actually an offshoot of what I was going for originally. Because I can't convince you of that. But things you forgot about going about how zoos are so cruel and stuff like that.
I didn't say zoos are cruel. I didn't say that. What I said is I hope people think about what a zoo really is and what it really should be. We got a couple instant messages here. And I agree. My buddy Mike from Mayfair, where I live, he instant messaged in saying, hey, you got to remember, there's a lot of what zoos do, a lot of their function is behind the scenes, is to resuscitate species that are extinct. Absolutely. My point is that a zoo and a SeaWorld, the voyeuristic aspect of a zoo and a SeaWorld, is something that should make people ask themselves, why? What is the need to ogle at wild animals in prison-like cells? I don't really get it. I think and people don't ask that question. And frankly, Mark, from Arvada, people like you get very, very upset and very, very nervous when people ask those uncomfortable questions. My guess is because you are uncomfortable with the answers. You are uncomfortable with the answers.
You haven't allowed me to answer that question.
You're still on the phone. I've given you what? You've been on the phone, what, a minute and a half, 2 minutes? Keep going. What's your answer to that?
Why do people watch it? Because people are fascinated with nature. They don't necessarily want to go out there and risk their lives.
They want to put it in a prison cell.
You're cutting me off.
So they want to put it in a prison cell.
You're cutting me off.
Okay, all right. If you're going to be Ross Perot and say, let me finish. So you're saying they should be put in a prison cell.
No, I'm saying people want to see them in person as opposed to going out to their natural habitat to watch them.
Mark, I know what they want. The question is it humane to fulfill your desire by putting these animals in a prison cell?
Ever been in prison?
I have been to a prison, yes.
Have you been in a prison cell for more than
Have I been incarcerated? No, I'm sorry. I have not been incarcerated.
Incarcerated? That's nothing like a prison cell. And I get sick of people comparing it to that.
I guess you've had a personal conversation with the animals in the zoo and the dolphins at SeaWorld. So you know it's not like a prison cell.
I don't know perfect freaking.
Okay, Mark, my guess is you are so uncomfortable so uncomfortable with the answers to these uncomfortable questions. And that's why you don't have an answer to my basic question, whether it's okay, whether it's humane for people to fulfill their desire to see animals by putting animals in a prison. It's actually pretty telling that you have no answer to that question. Thanks for your call. Ali in Colorado Springs. Ali, you're on AM 760. Ali, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, that guy didn't even have a direction on his conversation, so I'm not really sure what the point he was trying to make. But, I've been to the zoo. I've been to SeaWorld and probably would never, ever go back again. I think a killer whale was just acting instinctively. And that we always, as humans, we put ourselves as the elite of the planet instead of as a partner in the planet with all the other species. And I'm no tree hugger. I just believe in social responsibility and environmental responsibility and everyone pitching in. I totally agree with you that we have no rights to incarcerate animals and we should do zoos in a different way.
Absolutely. And the thing is with meat eating, look. You can make a case to me. I'm not one of these people who's passing judgment on people who eat meat. If you have a value system that says you think you should eat meat, that's fine. My issue is at least ask the question. At least consider the humane or inhumane implications. Hey, Allie, thanks for the call. All right, stick around. Up next, tax discussion.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
Now with more, here's Frank Satapani.
The Wall Street Journal says the White House has a less ambitious backup plan if the summit fails to generate enough support to pass the one that's on the table now. Plan B would reportedly extend insurance coverage to just 15 million uninsured Americans. A government report showing an increase last week in new unemployment claims is raising fresh concerns about the economic recovery. That's a worry for Wall Street, where the Dow Industrials are down 157 points. A consulting company report says the online government system that's supposed to help employers spot and reject illegal immigrants who apply for work clears illegals more than half the time. Mark Rosenblum is with the Migration Policy Institute.
It's not good. We've known for a long time that there are four or five major problems with E-Verify. This vulnerability to identity fraud is probably the biggest concern.
Another shoe is dropping in the Bernard Madoff Ponzi scheme scandal. The FBI says it's arrested Daniel Bonventre, Madoff's one-time operations director. If yesterday's northeast snowstorm was the jab, today's blast from the weather gods could be the coup de grace. Austin Mack is behind the wheel of a New Jersey plow truck.
They're talking 12 plus, so whatever comes at us, we'll handle it.
The storm could linger through tomorrow, dumping well over a foot of snow in some places. You say you're lactose intolerant. Could be. Then again, maybe not.
Steve Kathan. A federal panel finds many people who think they can't digest the sugar in milk actually can and shouldn't be avoiding dairy products rich in calcium and vitamin D.
A number of parents may think that they're lactose intolerant, then may impose this on their children, thinking that they'll probably have it as well.
Panel Chairman Dr. Frederick Succi says other disorders may be to blame for the discomfort, and not enough people talk to their doctors about it.
One trainer says he's not surprised by yesterday's fatal attack by a killer whale at SeaWorld in Orlando. Rick Trout says whales can be pushed too far.
These are animals who can and have, in captive situations, become very, very frustrated and very, very angry. And we don't belong in their environment, and they don't belong in tanks.
The owners of 355,000 Chrysler minivans will be asked to bring them in for repairs.
The problem is with the sensor in the front of the minivan that detects a crash. It can crack and fail and potentially keep the airbags from deploying.
CBS's Jeff Gilbert. This is CBS News.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Jefferson County authorities continue to look for answers in the shooting that injured two Deer Creek Middle School students. Investigators want to know why Bruce O. Eastwood checked in at the school's office before the shooting.
He came in for whatever reason, left. And my understanding is he was not asked to leave. He just left. And then the shootings occurred outside.
A judge has set Eastwood's bail at $1 million. He's facing two counts of attempted first-degree murder. As for the students who were shot, 8th grader Matt Two remains hospitalized, but his mother says he's been upgraded to serious condition. 7th grader Reagan Weber is recovering at home. Some snags yesterday in the murder trial of the man accused of shooting Denver Bronco Darrett Williams. Two witnesses have been jailed for refusing to testify. Another witness who did take the stand had a lapse of memory, failing to identify Clark in the courtroom. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are back in action tonight. The Nuggets are on the road to play the Golden State Warriors. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
And we're running pretty busy out here on the highways this morning. A lot of traffic up and down I-25 with those southbound delays starting back at 120th down to 84th, again from 58th as you make your way into downtown. Now we're starting to find some delays south of the bridges, just about University through Evans as you make that trip into the Denver Tech Center. Flip around that northbound side. It has been slow this morning from Bellevue all the way up towards 6th Avenue. There was an earlier crash at the end of that on-ramp. That has since cleared off the highway. Both sides of 225 running pretty busy, making way on from Parker Road, north or south. And it looks like C-470 and 6th Avenue actually pretty good on our eastbound routes this morning. A couple of problems on the side streets. 6th and Spear just coming in an injury wreck. That's a busy area for traffic. Also Federal and Mississippi wrapping up. And out on the eastern plains, they're still working with this rolled-over semi westbound I-70 near Agate. That's mile marker 340, still one lane of traffic getting through there. I'm Aaron O'Neill, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
If you want the best price when you sell your gold, it's easy. Just take it to Fast Cash. At Fast Cash, you'll get 40% more for your gold in cash and on the spot. So don't get ripped off. Get a quote before you sell and get what your gold's really worth. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
AutoZone. Has your engine lost some of its spark? It could be worn-out plugs. Get in the zone. AutoZone. You can change them yourself and save. And AutoZone is here to help. Right now, save $1 each on your choice of Bosch Platinum Plus, Platinum Plus 2, or Platinum Plus 4 spark plugs after mail-in rebate. Limit 16. See store for details. So get the spark back in your engine and keep going strong. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Wow! 807 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. This is this discussion over the killer whales has sparked quite a... quite a discussion at our in our instant messages. You can always instant message the show, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We got a great video up there for you to check out about the healthcare debate. And when you're on the website, if you can, if you like the show, please vote for us in the Best of Denver Westward poll. The link is on the top of our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. It's right there. If you can, if you like the show, vote for us on number 13 on the Westward poll. And a couple of instant messengers have pointed out, and I think it's a good point, that we can't really conflate, we shouldn't conflate SeaWorlds with zoos. in the sense that SeaWorld, you go there just to be entertained, and zoos have a lot of really important functions behind the scenes, behind the cages that people are visiting. And I think that's an important point. And I didn't mean to paper it over, so I apologize if I did paper it over. That said, I do think the voyeuristic aspect of a zoo is still something that we should take a moment to consider. And we will get back to a discussion about those issues. But first, joining us now is Jeffrey Zaks. He is a professor up at UC Boulder. CU Boulder. CU Boulder. And he was quoted in this article in the Denver Post that we talked about a couple days ago, the front page article in the business section about taxes and about who is rich and who is not rich in our state and in our country. And he made the point, which I thought was an important one, he made the point that a lot of rich people seem to delude themselves. And I wanted to look at that a little further, if we could. Dr. Zaks, thank you for taking the time this morning. The definition of rich and middle class and poor, this idea that it starts and ends with $250,000 a year or up, that is a dividing line. That is where we kind of draw the line. Is that the right place to draw the line?
Well, it's arbitrary, and it's, I think, a relatively new designation. This is a number that has arisen through the conversation about how the federal government is going to change its tax scheme in response to the deficits that it's run up, trying to respond to the recession. So, no, $250,000 is not an established number for distinguishing between those who are rich and those who are not.
I guess I asked the question at a more philosophical level. Do you think that's a fair place to draw the line?
Oh, man. That's a much harder question. What does it mean to be rich? Do people with $250,000 in annual income have, for example, a second home? Do they have a sports car? Do they have vacations in the Caribbean? I think if those are the kinds of things you're looking for to identify the rich, then yes and no. I guess there's at that level of income, you do see some of that kind of luxurious consumption.
I made the point earlier on in the week. I made this point. I said, look, if you set aside debt, let's say school debt, just school debt, and you can even include mortgage debt, but because people made the point, I graduated from school, I got $7,500 in debt. All right, let's set that aside. That's a separate question, and I'm not saying it's not an important question, but just for purposes of discussion here, if you're living in Colorado, let's say you're living in Denver, and you take the median price of a home, and then you can get a median mortgage payment or a median rental payment, and median cost of living. If you have if you are earning $250,000 in a year, it seems to me that if you take what it costs to median necessities of life, and let's even, a car is a necessity, to live a basic life in this state, it seems to me you're going to have a lot of money left over, even if you got two kids, if you're making $250,000 a year.
I think that's absolutely right. At the same time, if you think about the kinds of consumption patterns that you identify as rich, if you think about the neighborhoods that you drive through and you think, whoa, these people must be rich, they must have a lot of money, those neighborhoods are people who are making more than $250,000 a year. I agree with you. $250,000 is way comfortable, but it's not really the popular image. The lifestyle you have at $250,000 is not the popular image of what's rich. So, I guess there's a distinction here between what people think of as rich in their, in their own minds, and what the tax code or what the federal government wants to treat as being rich. $250,000 is a lot of money. There's no question about it. But you're not living in, in those big mansions in Cherry Hills on that kind of income.
No, you're not. But what fascinates me about this rich and poor debate and the tax debate is, what's amazing to me is that it doesn't, the first thing that I think about, and maybe this is just a philosophical difference between conservatives and progressives, I don't know, but when I hear that $250,000 a year or more is the top 2%, and that the median household income in Colorado is $57,000 a year, the first thing I think about is, wow, most people in this state are living on, you know, roughly $57,000 a year. Actually, half are living on less, and half are living on more. But the middle, and what I don't understand is that people who are making $250,000 or more, who are complaining about, oh, I don't want to pay more taxes, or I'm struggling to make ends meet. I'm wondering how they don't hear those statistics and say, wow, most of this state, most of the country is living on less than me. I just don't understand how that's not the first impulse. And you talked in the Denver Post about how the people in the top 2% of income earners oftentimes delude themselves. I mean, I guess my question is, how does that come about? Where do you think that comes from? Is it a product of a media that says that rich, when you look on the media and you define rich, rich is defined as you turn on reality television or you know, Donald Trump and Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous style programming. Is it a media creation of what we have described as rich, not really relating to what is actually rich in the society?
Dave, it's a really good point. I think you're absolutely right. People who are making $250,000 a year really don't have a very accurate sense as to what that means about them relative to the rest of society. And, you know, part of it first is who you're exposed to. People who, you know, I'm looking at the street that I live on, and everyone on this street has relatively similar incomes. And so if you ask me what are typical incomes like, my first thought is, well, what are my neighbors making? Mm-hmm. They look just like me. So, you know, part of this is actually not, you know, is understandable and not necessarily.
So part of it's actually social. It's actually, if you spend time, if you're a $250,000-aire, let's say, and you're spending time with mostly $250,000-aires, and there's a couple of people who you spend time with who are millionaires,
right,
the millionaires are going to seem like the rich ones, and everybody else is going to seem like the quote-unquote middle class.
That's right. You're not exposed to, you know, the vast majority of people who are making a lot less than you, at least not in social terms, and so they're not your frame of reference. So that's part of the reason why.
So it's almost like, I mean, what's actually interesting about this is that it's as we have separated ourselves, and I know there's a lot of talk about how we've separated ourselves along political lines, right? Like, you know, redder districts have become redder and bluer political districts have become bluer. As we've also separated ourselves along socioeconomic lines, the wealthy people, and however you want to define it, but let's say the top 2% of income earners are mostly or disproportionately exposed to their fellow selves.
I think that's right, although I'm not sure that's new. I don't know that we've actually become more stratified in that domain. I think it was always the case, and it's natural that that a lot, at least your social contacts, would be people who are
right
in similar situations. So, you know, that's one thing that happens. The second thing that happens is, and this is one of the things I was quoted about saying in the newspaper, is that your consumption generally expands to fill your income. So people who have $250,000 or whatever the number actually is, for the most part, they don't say to themselves, boy, am I fat. I don't know what to do with my money. Right? They find a way actually to spend it in a way that, and they get used to spending it in a way which makes it feel to them like that's actually what they need.
Yeah, this is a really, really key point. And this is the point that really bothers me personally. I mean, this is the part of this that really upsets me is that if you don't think about what you are spending on and what you and the fact that a lot of the choices in your spending are just that, are choices, you can delude yourself into thinking you can, as you say, you can grow into your income where what you are spending feels like a necessity when in fact it's not.
It's not even that you can, you almost surely will.
I should ask, I wonder if the recession and the troubles that we're in is going to make people reevaluate this. I'll give you a personal example myself here. I mean, I don't make even close to $250,000 a year, not even close. But in the discretionary spending that I have, that I could have been spending this year, I have decided not to do some of the things that I would have done maybe in prior years where the economy felt more stable, just out of fear, I don't know what's going to happen next, so I'm just going to kind of not hoard, but like not allow myself to necessarily grow into my income. And I want to stress, my income's way less than $250,000 a year. I wonder if the recession may change behavior.
you know, certainly temporarily, people are going to feel less secure, and as a consequence of that, they're going to try to protect themselves a little bit more. I don't expect that to make a long-lasting effect, though. It's you know, recessions happen to us every 6 or 7 years, and people do pull back briefly. But once they begin to feel, once the economy comes back and people feel their individual circumstances are more secure, that instinct is going to go. And I think, I imagine you will. You know, I certainly hope. First, I hope someday someone pays you $250,000. I hope it's soon. And I'm sure that once you know, you begin to feel a little more secure, you'll say to yourself, you know, we put off that vacation last year. Things look a little more stable this year. You know, let's.
But let me take you on. Let me take you on that point for a second. You say you expect people to go back to it. Now, I know a lot of us out there remember that our, let's say my grandparents. This is another personal example. My grandparents, they made a decent living, and they came. You know, my grandfather was came over from Russia after the Russian Revolution, fleeing that country, and lived through the Great Depression. I mean, he was always, and they were always such. They were so frugal, right? They never grew into their income because they had been through the Depression, and they were sort of that money under the mattress kind of thing. And I wonder if we could, after the go-go 80s and 90s, if this generation may be being taught those same lessons. You doubt it.
You're getting a little, I think.
I guess, how do you explain the people who live, how do you explain my grandparents? Because, you know, you see that caricature in movies all the time, right? The grandparents who came over from the old country, and even though they're doing well, they're kind of putting the money under the mattress. How do you explain that?
I'm sure that's real, but the difference is that, and I think we flatter ourselves here, if we pretend to ourselves that the experience of this last recession is anything like what the experience of the Depression was.
Right, God forbid.
Yeah, exactly. So the way your grandparents behaved is, I think, is not uncommon, and I think it's easily explained. But the Depression was a reduction in welfare that was so searing that, yes, it left permanent scars on an entire generation. But remember, that was, well, depending on how you count it, that was 6 or 7 or 8 years of extreme economic deprivation. I think the economy shrunk by a quarter
at
one point. Unemployment rates were almost 30%.
All right. So we're not there yet, and so in terms of a generational impact, we're probably not there yet.
No, you got to get beat up real bad.
And I'm not. And by the way, I am not, and I know you're not. I am not wishing for that, even close to it. I just wonder. I just get I have a feeling, and we'll have you back on to debate it and discuss it when other data come out. I just have this feeling that the trepidation, that the fear out there, because the economy is pretty bad, and if it lasts longer, I just feel like it may start slowly. Maybe I'm an optimist, but may start slowly changing our attitudes towards wealth and money, and what is wealthy and what isn't wealthy, and what is upper class and what is middle class. Jeffrey Zaks, again, he's a professor up at CU Boulder. He was quoted in that Denver Post piece in the front page or the business section. We have it linked on our website, am760.net. It's always good to talk to you, so let's stay in touch, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. 821 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Up next, we'll fill you in on a couple of news stories, including some local news stories, including, I love this story. This story is just a great, it just tells you everything you need to know. The oil and gas industry, which ran around telling us that Governor Bill Ritter and environmentalist new rules that passed 2 years ago were going to destroy the industry. Now they're saying, oh, we got nothing to worry about with these new oil and gas rules. Turn around on a dime. It tells you everything you need to know about exactly why you shouldn't trust the declarations of big money special interests in politics. We'll fill you in on that. Take your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, we're pretty stacked on the freeways around town, Dave. Southbound 225 from about Islip to 25. Northbounders struggling there from the spillway up to Mississippi. Also looking at some stop and go on I-25 southbound 120th to 84th. Brief relief, then more jams 58th past Spear. Those are in the stop and go kind. Also heavy westbound turnpike right now from Sheridan to Wadsworth. Northbound I-25 has been pretty heavy for us all morning long. From the tech center all the way into downtown Bellevue to 6th Avenue. Have an injury crash, 6th and Spear, and a couple accidents in the cleanup phase at Federal and Mississippi. Mississippi, and Lincoln and 13th. Forecast, mostly cloudy, breezy, highs in the mid-upper 40s. Light snow showers late this afternoon. Little accumulation in our city. Current downtown temperature, 41 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Hey there, it's me, Mr. TV, and speaking on behalf of the TVs in many good homes today, I'm asking you for some digital love from Comcast. I'm talking about the Comcast Digital TV Package, and you're going to love the price, $29.99 a month for 6 months for the digital channels that every TV wants. Plus, listen to this, you're going to love free HBO for 6 months. That's all 8 channels of HBO and HBO On Demand, including the premiere of the new war epic, The Pacific. You'll get Discovery, Food Network, Altitude, Fox Sports and Animal Planet, plus your local channels and video on demand for just $29.99 a month for 6 months. And did I mention free HBO for 6 months? It's a great deal of TV. Call 1-800-COMCAST by Sunday, March 7th. Your TV will thank you.
Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to new residential customers. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Equipment, taxes, and franchise fees extra. Call Comcast for details.
Lights and a whole lot of gridlock.
Answer the census. It's how we get our fair share of funding for the things we need. Look for the census in your mail mid-March. We can't move forward until you mail it back. 2010 Census. It's in our hands. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau. Learn more at 2010census.gov.
If you're like a lot of small business owners, you have a lot to keep track of. You have a drawer with bank statements, a folder with some sales spreadsheets, some invoices here, expenses over there, and some customer contact info in the pocket of the jacket you wore last Tuesday. There's a better way. Get all your business information together with Intuit QuickBooks Online. It easily organizes your entire business in one place. See all your invoices, compare monthly expenses, or see your customers' phone numbers and sales history with a click. Get a 30-day free trial at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
If you open your ears,
and I'm just one of those regular guys,
your mind will follow.
I am a liberal.
I consider myself an independent.
And it just blows my mind.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truth.
Listen.
Be more informed.
Become more informed.
Learn.
I learn a lot. I feel like I get all the real news from you guys.
Talk.
The honest, regular folk.
AM 760.
Taking action.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
825 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What is rich? What is not rich? We just heard from CU Boulder Professor Jeffrey Zaks saying the rich delude themselves oftentimes and oftentimes make their spending match their income to make themselves feel like they are being stretched thin, that you kind of grow into your income. Do you think that's true? 303-713-7600. It comes within the context of a tax debate. The right wing now attacking Jane Norton. We played the ad just a little while ago, Jane Norton, the Republican Senate candidate, the right wing of her party attacking her for opposing pieces of the taxpayer bill of rights, saying that she's for tax increases. News in the legislature, Governor Ritter signs into law, and good for him for doing it, and good for Democrats for doing it, passing that law, temporarily suspending those special tax breaks for corporations in state. That is the big news out of the legislature, and that is fantastic news. Also, I wanted to point this out. This tells you everything you need to know about big money, the wealthiest of big money special interests out there in our political system. This is in the Fort Collins, Colorado. After years of claiming Colorado's new oil and gas regulations will chase the energy industry and its jobs from the state, oil and gas operators and an industry group are now saying the rules will have little impact on future energy development here. The new rules took effect last April and were developed by Governor Ritter and the Democrats in the legislature. They require energy companies to employ best management practices to protect wildlife and consult with state wildlife officials about sensitive habitat. They also require companies to follow a slate of other requirements to safeguard the environment. Republicans had attacked those rules as anti-jobs, but now that there's this potentially huge oil and gas find in Weld County, the oil industry saying and gas industry saying, hey, these rules are no big deal. Meanwhile, John Hickenlooper, the one of the high-profile ways he's trying to triangulate, he attacked the Colorado oil and gas rules passed by Governor Ritter. He basically read the old talking points from the oil and gas industry. Now the oil and gas industry is saying, hey, you know, they were no big deal. No big deal at all. That's what I'm talking about. When you hear big money special interests talking about stuff like this, talking about any kind of regulations or taxes, when you read a story like this, you realize so much of it is hysterics to try to polarize the debate, to try to change the debate, put it on their terms rather than on real-world terms. 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines. 303-713-7600. What is wealthy? What isn't wealthy? And do the wealthy, do people making over $250,000 a year, are they deluding themselves into thinking that they are squeaking by? Dave in Littleton. Dave, you're on AM760.
Morning, how you doing?
All right, man.
You know, I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, money and who makes what money. And you hear a lot of people, when they start talking about somebody who makes about $20,000 a year, say, people who make a lot of money, their only answer is, well, that person must just be lazy or they're not trying hard enough. But then when it comes to them and they're making $250,000 a year, it's like, oh, you should feel sorry for them. I have all this debt and I'm just stretched so thin, you know. And I take, for instance, like, me and my wife, we make about half that combined together. And I've never once said, oh, I just don't make enough money. I can barely make ends meet. I sit there and I tell myself, look what I've done for myself. I have this. I have this. If something happens, I can get rid of this because I don't need this to live. But when people get to the point where they say, oh, I need this much money to live, then they're obviously deluding themselves to the fact that, you know, they make a lot of money and they're trying to make everybody else around them feel bad for them.
Yeah, and your point, Dave, which is a really important point, your point about how we have been taught, and I think it really is we have been taught to think that the amount that you make is how hard you work and how valuable you are to society. And I don't know how many lessons it's going to take, how many stories, how many examples need to be out there for us to realize that the economy, that maybe one day, it would, maybe in the past it had sort of been like that. I don't even believe it had ever really been like that. But maybe in the past salary really did reflect, purely reflect or better reflect your work ethic or your value to society. Certainly some people who are rich work real hard. Some people who are rich don't work at all. You don't have to trust the Trustafarians, right? But how many examples do we need to break that idea that has been, frankly, rammed down our throat by the Reaganites and the conservative media saying, you know, the wealthy people, they all earn their money. I mean, what is the Wall Street meltdown if not a giant lesson in people who made their money not because they were valuable to society, but because they learned how to game the system? And you can look to even more mundane examples. Look, you look at sports figures, right? Look, I don't begrudge them, the players, making a lot of money if the fans are paying for the entertainment. Right? I mean, that's a bigger question about why are we paying so much for sports entertainment. That's a separate discussion. But you can't say that a guy who plays, you know, basketball and makes $5 million a year is automatically working harder and more valuable to society than a teacher who gets paid $50,000 and is working their ass off. You just can't say that. And I think that myth that salary reflects work ethic, right, is exactly what those who have lots of money tell themselves to make themselves feel like they deserve it and they deserve their higher station than everybody else in life. And it's a way for them to say, don't tax me because you will be confiscating what I worked so hard to get. As opposed to saying, hey, I ought to chip in to help build this community. It's the back to the old debate, me first, screw everybody else, or we're all in this together. That is what this comes down to. Great point, Dave. Thanks for the call. 832 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, a Republican state legislator in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, a Republican legislator from Colorado Springs. That's right. And he is sponsoring a bill that I support. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave. Traffic is already starting to loosen up for us a little bit. The stop and go anyway. Do see some jams on 25 northbounders between Bellevue and 6th Avenue. Speeds are in the 30s there. Southbound side heavy 120th to 84th. Again, from I-70 past Spear Boulevard in Aurora. 225 busy in both directions, beginning at Parker Road. Northbounders going to be heavy to Mississippi. Southbounders all the way down to the 25 merge. One injury accident at 6th and Spear out on the far east end. One lane now getting past the overturned semi. Westbound I-70 at mile marker 340. Forecast, mostly cloudy. Snow showers late this afternoon. Just about an inch or two in the city, 2 to 4 in the foothills. Should be relatively warm, though, with a high around 47. Right now, 41 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Want to save on your groceries every time you shop? Just look for the yellow tags at King Soopers. They're the sign you're getting a great price, and you'll find thousands of them throughout the store every day. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers. Where can you find the best Indian, Nepalese, and Tibetan cuisine? The Yak and Yeti Restaurant and Brew Pub. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road in Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill. TheYakAndYeti.com.
This is the sound of a car door slamming. This is my girlfriend speeding away. This is us 40 minutes earlier entering Sushi Kaiju for a romantic dinner. I found Sushi Kaiju by searching online. No mention was made of the rude service or the tainted Toro. Diana loved tuna.
Yahoo Search delivers restaurant reviews and ratings, maps and more, all on one page, right at the top. Just what you need. Just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Really think all batteries are the same, or do you think one stands out from the rest? The Duracell Copper Top. And while you get what you pay for, usually holds true. Now with Duracell, you can actually get more than you pay for. Because now the most popular packs of our AA and AAAs give you 20% more batteries for the same price. After all, when it comes to good value, it just has to work. Always reliable, always efficient. Duracell Smart Power. Trusted everywhere.
That's the stuff. If we were given the opportunity to get together,
maybe you're right.
Talk,
you're probably right.
What this bill does is it takes some of the felony drug sentencing for possession related offenses, not for distribution, but for possession related offenses. It reduces some of those sentences, so we can take the money that's freed up from the prison beds and apply it towards reducing recidivism.
And the issue is making a distinction between, I guess, distributing and possession. Is that right?
Well, that's one of the big distinctions that this bill does. It separates out distribution from possession. Those sort of were all lumped together in the statute before. And I think we recognize that distribution is a very serious problem for the citizens of the state of Colorado. And that's where the truly bad people, if you will, in the drug world exists, the ones who distribute drugs, whereas the users are perhaps just, you know, people that have become addicted to drugs and can't help themselves.
So does your bill take some resources out of potentially, I guess, the prison industrial complex, for lack of a better term, and put it into rehabilitation? I mean, are you only reclassifying what is possession, or is the major thrust reclassifying possession and distribution, or is there actually some movement of resources here?
Yeah, no, there's some significant movement of resources. We spend $30,000 per inmate per year in the Department of Corrections. Since we've reduced some of these felony sentences, some of these possession-only drug offenders are spending significant prison sentences right now. They're being warehoused without any real significant treatment. And believe me, the prisons try to do a good job of treating addiction. Almost 80% of the folks in prison have some sort of drug abuse problem or addiction problem. But what this bill does is it says, look, we've been warehousing these folks for however long. We're going to reduce some of those sentences, so that'll free up a bunch of money, and we'll take that money or some of that savings and apply it towards reducing recidivism or apply it towards treatment.
Again, on the line with us is State Representative Mark Waller, a Republican from Colorado Springs. He's the co-sponsor of this new bill being introduced to finally get us to start talking about and dealing with criminal justice reform as it relates to, in particular, drug policy. And, I wonder, there you always hear that rehabilitation can cost more in the short term than simply incarcerating people. I'm not sure if that's exactly true, but what I'm wondering is there any, has there been in the evolution of thinking behind this bill taken into account recidivism, right? That it may cost more to rehabilitate somebody, put somebody through a really serious rehabilitation program. It may cost more up front than simply throwing them in a room and locking the door and throwing away the key, putting them in prison with just minimal rehabilitation in regular prisons. But that rehabilitation, if done correctly, can actually lower recidivism, which recidivism, of course, costs you so much more over the long term.
Well, and that's exactly, David, the reason I'm running this bill. You know, when my constituents sent me to Denver, I think they sent me with a pretty simple mandate. You know, one, they want me to do my job to protect the public safety, and two, they want me to be a good steward of the taxpayer dollars that they give me. And I think that this bill blends those two mandates together perfectly. I believe that doing this is going to give us the best bang for those limited public safety dollars that we have.
And I have to ask about the politics of this, because you may not agree with the way I'm going to characterize it, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I feel like that in previous years, in particular previous decades, that the Republican Party has polarized the discussion about criminal justice on the quote unquote law and order terms, that there was crime and there was not crime, and that there was no gray area. It was just sort of tough on crime was the mantra. Has that changed? I mean, and do you, as a politician, as an elected official, do you worry that in pushing a bill like this, you are potentially opening yourself up, or maybe opening up the prospect just of a general debate that goes back to that old law and order kind of discussion?
Well, you know, I guess, first of all, I think there's something to be said for the work that was done before I got here, and that is in that we have reduced violent crime in Colorado over the decades, so I don't think we can dismiss this notion of being tougher on crime as not being appropriate or as in some way.
But the thing is that it's you say violent crime, and you're going to get no argument from me there at all, none, zero. But I guess what I'm hypothesizing is that the debates over criminal justice became so superheated in the late 80s and into the 90s that we couldn't have a discussion about what crime is and what it isn't, and what crime warrants the tough on crime kind of policies, the mandatory minimum sentences, and what doesn't. And I just wonder if your bill represents an example of how the discussion has finally become more nuanced.
Well, sure, and I think that's true, and I think there is starting to be a paradigm shift in the way we think about crime, and I think in the past it has been it's all about being tough on crime, and tough on crime means longer sentences.
Right.
And in some circumstances, long sentences are very, very, very appropriate. I think what we're starting to learn now is that longer sentences aren't the only option for protecting the public safety. There are other options out there that are more cost-effective that protect the public safety. And I think that's what this bill does, and I think that lots of folks on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats alike, recognize and see that and recognize the value that a bill like this can have to, one, protecting the public safety, and two, using, hopefully in the long run, fewer resources to do that.
Well, this obviously brings up the issue of the touches on not only criminal justice, but the issue of drug policy and how we deal with drug policy. There's a big debate going on over marijuana. Medical marijuana has been the focus of that debate. I know that there is a libertarian streak in the Republican Party here, and I know that views of drug policy can actually differ inside the Republican Party, and by the way, inside the Democratic Party too. Has the discussion over marijuana in this state, has this played any role among Republicans, Republican legislators, Republican rank and file voters? Has it played any role, do you think, in having us rethink what is criminal when it relates to drugs and what is not?
No, at least I'll tell you with my bill, no, I don't think it has at all. In fact, I think the whole medical marijuana debate is a significantly different issue than the bill I'm running. I'm not addressing the sort of the morality or the I'm not trying to make any statement on whether drug use should be legalized or not legalized. That's not the focus and the goal of my bill, and I think it's important for a bill like mine to keep that discussion separate. I don't need to have that discussion at all. My whole principle, or the whole reason I'm doing this, is, again, I'm sent here with a couple of mandates. One, protect the public safety to the best of my ability, and two, be a good steward of the taxpayer dollar. And that's where I believe the debate over my bill needs to be appropriately framed. I don't think we need to have, for my bill's purposes, this further discussion as to whether or not this whole drug use issue should be legal or shouldn't.
What has been the reception to your bill among, in particular, Republican legislators? And again, on the line with us is Representative Mark Waller. He's the Republican sponsor of a bipartisan bill that starts dealing, in my opinion, in a constructive way with criminal justice reform. So what has been the response among fellow Republicans?
It's actually been very positive. I've been so appreciative of all the support I've gotten and the leadership that I've gotten on my side of the aisle on this issue. I'm the prime sponsor of this bill. I have 9 other Republicans have signed on as co-sponsors to this bill in the State House, to include the House Minority Leader Mike May and the House Caucus Chair, leadership position, Amy Stevens. In addition to that, the Senate Minority Leader Josh Pinry has signed on as a co-sponsor to this bill, and Senator Sean Mitchell, a Republican, is a prime co-sponsor of this bill as well.
Well, so that raises, again, I'm just trying to get to the root of this. I mean, what do you think? I'll put it this way: what do you think has prompted? You said there may be a paradigm shift going on. What among Republicans do you think has prompted a paradigm shift to the point where you can have so many leading Republicans not just making supportive statements, but actually signing on as key legislative leaders with Democratic legislators on a bill like this? I mean, how have we got, I guess what I'm asking is, in your mind, you're at the forefront of this right here in this state, how have we gone? What has pushed us to go from a state and a country that used to debate these issues in very superheated, polarized terms to a debate where you can have a bill like this be completely bipartisan?
Well, you know, I think we're starting to realize that longer sentences aren't just the only way to go. That's not the only way to protect the public safety. There are other options out there that are going to be more cost effective, that are going to do a good job of protecting the public safety. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I think one of the reasons that this bill is ripe to run now is because of the budget crisis we're in. And I want to be clear that I don't think we should sacrifice the public safety to balance the budget. That's not appropriate at all. I think that's a horrible policy decision, but I think at the same time we all realize that if we can get more bang for our limited public safety dollars, that's a good return on investment for our taxpayers.
Well, State Representative Mark Waller, again, he is pushing this bill. We have a link to a story about it on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. You have proven to me that I can actually agree wholeheartedly with a Republican elected official from Colorado Springs. I'm feeling very bipartisan or transpartisan right now, and I want to wish you good luck on this bill, and please keep us posted on it and let us know how we can help on it, okay?
Well, thank you, David, and I'd like to agree with you on more varied subjects as well.
Well, good. Well, stay in touch with us, okay?
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. 848 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What'd you think about that? Does this represent a paradigm shift? The Republicans in the legislatures joining with Democrats for some pretty serious drug policy and criminal justice reform. And the State Representative Waller was saying it's not a commentary on legalizing marijuana or anything like that. But clearly, this intersects between criminal justice and drug policy. And I think it's a seriously positive step forward. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Also, if you want to weigh in on our previous discussion about taxes, what constitutes rich, what doesn't constitute rich, we heard from a CU Boulder professor, friend of the show, Jeffrey Zaks, about whether the rich grow their own spending into their income and therefore delude themselves into feeling like they are squeezed even though they're making $250,000 a year. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. Up next, we'll fill you in on another bill running through the legislature now that deals with Miranda rights. So we're going to have a big Miranda discussion here in state. That's my guess. And also, Jared Polis making a bold move against the DEA. We'll fill you in on that. We'll take your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. Really starting to loosen up around town now. Just the normal jams on 25, both directions, beginning at Parker Road. I-25 still heavy in North Glen. Also downtown after 38th Avenue as you travel southbound. Northbounders still hitting the brakes at Bellevue all the way up past 6th Avenue. Speeds are starting to improve there, though. Also heavy on the turnpike westbound between Sheridan and Wadsworth. Still got this one crash, Federal and Spear up in the high country. Some snow with icy and snow-packed conditions from the Eisenhower Tunnel to Grand Junction. Chains required for semis over Loveland Pass and as well over Vail Pass for the eastbounders. Your forecast today, mostly cloudy, breezy, highs in the mid to upper 40s. Light snow showers late this afternoon. Little accumulation, though. Our current downtown temperature is 41 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Ralph Schaumt Mini, now offering special 3.9% APR financing and an upgrade to automatic transmission at no additional cost. Learn more at RalphSchaumtMini.com.
Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores. Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores. Ace is ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores.
3 years in a row, and it still sounds sweet. Get in, get help, get on with your life at Ace, the helpful place. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Visit your neighborhood Ace hardware store today.
So here's a new idea. What this country needs right now is a new bailout, right? Let's put a new tax on something and then send money to people who don't really need it. That'll work. This time, they want to put a new tax on every song played on the radio. And who gets a pile of money? Hundreds of millions of dollars? Giant record companies, most of which are in foreign countries. We'll pay all the money, and they'll keep gobs of it. Great. It's a bad idea. It could bankrupt local radio stations. But like a lot of bad ideas, it will happen unless we tell our members of Congress to stop it. Join us. Go to www.noperformancetax.org. That's noperformancetax.org. Tell your members of Congress to stop the radio performance tax. That's why the National Association of Broadcasters and this radio station are airing this message. Stop the radio tax.
Senate reporting that there is a bill also moving through the legislature. We just heard from State Representative Mark Waller about a bill on criminal justice reform. Another criminal justice bill moving through the legislature now deals with Miranda rights or Miranda-like rights. They're calling it consent to search. It takes aim at racial profiling, backed by coalitions of citizens' rights groups and civil rights groups. Democratic lawmakers Karen Middleton and Senator Pat Steadman introduced a bill that would require police to inform citizens of their right to refuse voluntary searches. The groups backing the bill believe it would limit traffic stops and searches that stem from discrimination and racial profiling. We're going to try to get one of those bill sponsors on the show in the coming few days. Also, a couple of upcoming guests. Wanted to fill you in on one of them is Matt Taibbi, the Rolling Stone reporter, on his new big piece about Goldman Sachs. We're trying to get him on, and he should be on in the next couple of days. Also, musician John Common next Thursday will be in studio to do some acoustic live performances for us here, which will be very cool. Tomorrow, of course, we'll be drinking beer in the 9 a.m. hour, just Turk and I. I think we may have a guest in studio. I'm not sure just yet. We're figuring that out.
A good show lined up for tomorrow. You want to briefly run it down for you?
Yeah, go for it.
We have Matt Taibbi.
So Taibbi's tomorrow. Okay, great.
At 9:35.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he said tomorrow would work better for him. So he's at 7:35 our time tomorrow.
Okay.
We also have Representative Sue Schaefer on tomorrow morning at 7:20.
About the gender discrimination in healthcare here.
Exactly.
In the state, right?
So she's at 7:20, Matt Taibbi at 7:35, and then Christy Harvey back in the chair at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we got a good show for you, and Turk and I.
And what are you going to bring to drink?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I haven't decided what I'm bringing in. Although, I tell you something, I just had some Old Chub yesterday, or two days ago, at Perk Hill. I go there, the coffee shop every now and again.
Perk Hill.
Up in Park Hill. Yeah, well, they serve Oscar Blues.
I know, that's awesome, man.
I know.
That is awesome.
So I had some Old Chub.
You sent me a text while you were doing it, too. You're like, well, I think this may be one of the greatest beers.
This may be one of the greatest beers in Colorado. It really may be.
You know, Oscar Blues does a great job.
They really, really do. All right, we're going to go to the phones, 303-713-7600. And I want to fill you in. I'll give you more details after the national news. But Jared Polis now wading in to the issue of drug policy reform that we just discussed. Jared Polis sending a letter chastising the DEA for going rogue here in Colorado. We'll fill you in on that after the national news. Right now we'll take some calls, 303-713-7600. Let's go to Rachel in Englewood. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Couple of points. I think that new bill is fabulous.
It is. It's very exciting that there's some bipartisanship. And I tell you something, I didn't get to get into it with him too much, but I wanted to. I have been saying for a while that there could be some silver linings from this budget crisis, right? That it makes us start to really reevaluate what our priorities are. And State Representative Waller said, you know, the budget crisis is really making more and more Republicans and Democrats think about, hey, maybe criminal justice reform is not only the moral thing to do, but it's a budget efficient thing to do.
Right, it's cost effective.
Yeah.
And they love that.
They do.
Or they say they do. They say they do. Well, and hopefully someday they'll be able to throw mental health care in there too.
We can only hope.
Yeah, I think that's the next important issue. I think the drug thing is way overdue, and drug policy reform is way overdue, but I also think mental health care for, you know, not criminalizing the mentally impaired people is very important.
I would agree, and I do think that the debate over criminal justice is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, that's a fabulous sign. I really appreciate his work. Good to him.
Good.
I also wanted to make a quick point that what you were talking about before about people sort of socializing their income and wondering, you know, if I make $250,000, am I middle class?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of the perfect example. We make $200,000, and I have two kids, and we live in Englewood, but we live in this little pocket where, for instance, my children went to Cherry Hills Village Elementary.
Mm.
And so it's very, you get caught up with the Joneses, right? Absolutely. And every once in a while, my husband will come out and say, you know, where's the money? Where does the money go? We make great money, and yet we don't have enough in savings. We don't, you know, we definitely fill our income.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I don't want to downplay social pressures, right? I mean, social pressures, they're real. When people work to keep up with their social groups, I think those are real pressures now. But I do think that you'd hope that in a recession, people step back and say, "Hey, wait a minute, what is needed and what is not needed?"
Well, you know what's interesting is I have friends in Cherry Hills Village who are very thrifty, and they always say they don't have any money, but the truth is that they really are thrifty. They save. They care about it. They're not wild spenders. I mean, they live in an expensive place because she's a doctor and he's a lawyer and they have the money, but they're not over consumer, you know, spenders. And they don't really care about status. And we don't really care about status. I think we just sort of take it for granted that we're comfortable and we can go out to eat when we want to go out to eat. And so we kind of just do. But when you're surrounded by the super rich,
mm-hmm.
And I think we lose track of the fact that those folks are the super rich.
That's right. And the thing is that I tried to make this point, and I think Jeffrey Zaks, the CU Boulder professor, agreed, which was that it's also that we are geographically segregated by
yes.
socioeconomic forces, right? I mean, there's various reasons why that happens, but if you don't even interact, and I don't know if you do or don't, Rachel, but in general, it's very easy to be sort of ensconced in your bubble and not be face to face with how the other half or the other three quarters lives. And I think it's just, I hope this recession is making people think a little bit more about it. Sounds like you are. I really appreciate your call. It's good talking to you. All right, stick around. I know there's got some people holding. We'll get more of your calls, more news after the national news.
Hi, I'm Scott O'Sullivan of the O'Sullivan Law Firm. There are things that you need to know if you are hurt in an accident. First, get your car to safety. Second, call 911. Third, get the other driver's name, number, and insurance information. Fourth, get all the witnesses' information. And finally, take pictures of the scene. For more tips on what to do after an accident, find me at O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. That's O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. Or call me at 303-388-5304.
This is the theme to Forever Lovers, the movie I wanted to see. This is the theme to Hillbilly Hamsters, a big hit with kids. I searched online. I couldn't find the showtimes. It was the only other movie playing. How bad could it be? Very, very bad.
Yahoo Search delivers movie trailers, reviews, showtimes, theater info, and more. All on one page, right at the top. Just what you need. Just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Yahoo! I think we have a better idea.
Republicans demand scrapping Democratic measures passed by the House and Senate.
We have to start by taking the current bill and putting it on the shelf and starting from a clean sheet of paper.
Now, the discussions continue right now. Almost an hour into this meeting, though, there is no sign of any agreement on the top reform issues. I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. Now with more CBS News, here's Nick Young.
An unexpected jump in the number of Americans filing for first-time unemployment benefits last week. The Labor Department says there was an increase of 22,000. Economist Andrew Gledhill of MoodysEconomy.com says it's not a good sign.
496,000 initial claimants is a very high number. It's still well above the number of layoffs that a healthy economy would be producing.
Analysts say the increase can be tagged to state agencies finally processing a backlog of claims left over by snowstorms a week before. Well, the East is reeling from a series of big storms, and it's being clobbered by Old Man Winter again. New York City, this woman's getting ready for the worst.
Bread, milk, maybe. Not too much because nothing shuts down like it used to.
A storm which could bring up to 2 feet of snow and gusty winds to a large area has already led to cancellation of hundreds of flights. A day after an experienced trainer was killed by the orca she was working with at SeaWorld Orlando, officials are trying to get to the bottom of the deadly incident. We're live in Orlando with CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Several agencies are investigating, and Orange County detectives are looking for help.
We would ask that anybody that has video or any type of photo documentation of what occurred yesterday at SeaWorld, that they contact the sheriff's office.
Sheriff spokesman Jim Solomons.
We get different accounts. It's pretty much all the same story, but everybody sees something a little different.
And he says video would help narrow it down. Nick?
Government researchers say that many people who believe they're totally lactose intolerant might be fine if they simply ate a small amount at a time. The panel says not much is known about how many people really cannot digest dairy products. The panel's chair, Dr. Frederick Succi of the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, says it's difficult to replace what dairy products provide the body.
You can get calcium and vitamin D from other sources, but it's very difficult to do it if you exclude dairy products from your diet.
The Afghan government has taken control of the southern Taliban stronghold of Marja today. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is off 162 points. The NASDAQ is down 31. This is CBS News.
Announcing the Ally Bank online savings account with a rate that's among the most competitive in the country. If you're waiting for the terms and conditions, forget about it. It really is that straightforward. Nothing confusing, hazy, ambiguous, dubious, or dodgy. No double dealing, double speak, or double meanings. Just an online savings account with a great rate. Compare rates for yourself at allybank.com or call Ally at 877-247-ALLY. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Reduce email storage and get compliant.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver is an integrated hardware and software solution that indexes and preserves all email communication and attachments. With no per-user fees and a quick setup, the Barracuda Message Archiver is the best solution for reducing the cost of email storage while ensuring government and litigation compliance. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM760 local news update. Bail is set at $1 million for the man accused of shooting two students at Deer Creek Middle School. Bruce Eastwood was arraigned on attempted murder charges, accused of opening fire in the parking lot. Jeffco spokeswoman Jackie Kelly says they continue to learn more about his background.
The suspect who's in custody was a student at Deer Creek Middle School in the early 90s, which helps explain at least a little bit about why this school, although it certainly doesn't answer why at all that this occurred.
Eastwood has been arrested a number of times before on a variety of charges. Two witnesses in the Willie Clark murder trial have been jailed for refusing to testify. Clark is charged in the shooting death of Denver Broncos cornerback Darrent Williams. Another witness took the stand yesterday but had a lapse of memory, saying she could not identify Clark when she was in the courtroom. In sports, Colorado Springs figure skater Rachel Flack competes in the Olympics ladies free skate tonight. She's currently in fifth place, and the Nuggets are on the road tonight against Golden State. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
And just as the drive was starting to wind down around town, a couple of late problems here. One is northbound I-25, just after Colorado Bridge, have a fresh accident blocking the left lane. Traffic's squeezing into the right, and we're starting to find those backups kicking in just about Yale. If you're leaving the Denver Tech Center, be ready for that delay. Once you pass that, not too bad. A little slow trying to get over the Broadway Bridge, and then you're looking good across downtown. Flip around that southbound side of I-25. Got a new accident, this one involving a semi. It looks like the right side of the highway is going to be blocked. Southbound I-25 just after Spear. We're looking at solid jamming back to I-70 right now, so have a good extra 10 to 15 on hand if you're driving past downtown. The rest of the highways, though, have cleaned up nicely. Marin O'Neill, AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snow plow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. The road behind the plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
That we're going over today. I'm just going to throw them out. Three topics on my mind, and I'm guessing on a lot of people's minds. Topic one is the death of the killer whale trainer at SeaWorld. Some people saying the killer whale needs to be put down. It can't be put back in the wild because it's been desocialized from the wild. what to do with the killer whale. I think killing it would be the most inhumane thing you could possibly do. And I think this terrible tragedy should make us ask a number of questions. One, what is there an immorality in just the very concept of SeaWorld? Right? SeaWorld is not a zoo. A zoo, you could argue, and I think it's a fair argument, that at least behind the scenes, not in the cages that everyone goes and looks at, but behind the scenes, a lot of what zoos do is they rescue animals. They also work to revive populations of endangered species. Although I think it's even fair to ask the question, why do we as spectators go to zoos to ogle at wild animals? But SeaWorld is different, right? SeaWorld, it's a facility, a for-profit facility set up to entertain us, to turn animals, wild animals, into entertainers. And I think it should, this terrible tragedy, and it certainly is a terrible tragedy when anybody dies in their occupation, it's just a terrible tragedy. But it should make us ask the question, why are we trying to turn killer whales into entertainers? And I also think this idea that we should be mad at the whale or upset beyond just the death of this trainer. I mean, this is a killer whale. It's called a killer whale. It's a dangerous, wild, huge, wild animal. It's not particularly aggressive or mean. It's just what it is. You lock it in a prison, in a cell, effectively, and try to turn it into a toy for entertainment, a plaything. It's an occupational hazard. You might get hurt. And if you're not ready for that, then you're not really taking into account what the animal really is. You're treating it again like a plaything. And there's this news off Live Science, one of my favorite websites out there about science news. I'll just read you a piece from this. News of a trainer being killed by a killer whale at SeaWorld Orlando today doesn't change the fact that these giants, while deadly predators, do not kill humans at sea. Quote, "They've never killed a human in the wild," said Nancy Black, a marine biologist. "That's mostly because, unlike sharks, killer whales don't frequent near shore areas where people swim." And scientists are saying this killer whale at SeaWorld probably didn't even intentionally kill the trainer. "I just think the killer whale may have wanted a social companion and just held her under the water too long," Black said. "I would think the killer whale didn't do it intentionally, but more as a plaything. They're so powerful." She added, "Killer whales don't have to come up for air as often as a human might, and can reasonably hold someone underwater for 15 to 20 minutes. So I wonder what your thoughts on this are. I wonder if you think this should make us think that the place like SeaWorld is just not, there's something fundamentally wrong with even the idea of SeaWorld. We've also been talking about taxes. We heard from CU Professor Jeffrey Zaks, who said that part of the problem in our tax debate in this country about what is rich, what isn't rich, $250,000, is that rich, is it not rich? Of course, we know statistically an income of $250,000 a year is the top 2% of income earners. Some people who make that much money or more say, hey, I'm struggling to get by. And he said, look, the reason why that is, why people say that, they're not actually struggling to get by. But there are all sorts of social factors that make them self, you know, to delude themselves, right? If you hang out with a lot of people who make $250,000 a year, if that's your total social circle, and there's some people who make a couple more, you'll think you're middle class. And he also said that as an economist, and economists know this, that people spend into their income, that the bigger an income somebody has, the more they will spend. They will fill out their income with spending, even if it may not be what we conventionally define as a necessity. Do you think that's true? Is $250,000 a year rich? And why do you think people who make that much money or more insist that they are middle class? What do you think is going on there psychologically? 303-713-7600. Then finally, we heard from Republican Representative Mark Waller from Colorado Springs, who I agree with. And I know I was pretty shocked to realize that I agree with a Republican from down there, an elected official. They are pushing, he and a number of Republican leaders, along with Democratic leaders in the legislature, are pushing a bill to put more resources into drug rehabilitation and take it out of drug incarceration. This is criminal justice reform. Do you think the Republicans are serious about this? Do you think this is a good step I think it's a great step. But I wonder what you think has changed the parameters of the debate. Right, this is the same Republican Party that had been screaming law and order, lock the door, throw away the key, tough on crime. All of a sudden they're for criminal justice reform? All of a sudden they're for less mandatory minimum sentences for people on possession charges? It's I think it's a paradigm shift. I wonder what you think is going on. Is this a silver lining benefit of the budget crisis? The budget crisis making us think about more cost-effective ways to deal with our criminal justice system. I want to also fill you in. I promise to do this, and it's an important story. I want to fill you in on this this letter from Jared Polis. He's making some big news, the Democratic congressman from Boulder. He has issued a letter to the Attorney General of the United States attacking rogue DEA agents here in state, saying that the DEA has gone rogue in Colorado. I wrote this column about this, and I was criticized pretty seriously. My column last week was about the rogue DEA agents here saying that they're going to arrest everybody at marijuana dispensaries. Now Jared Polis, the congressman from Boulder, writing a letter telling the DEA to stand down. Meanwhile, Mason Tvert, friend of the show from Colorado Safer, the drug policy reform group, he's in Westward talking about this issue where John Hickenlooper put on the marijuana policy review board here in the city a guy who says marijuana is a cancer. And in this story, this is really, really telling. There are stats about the number of drug possession arrests being made in Denver. And here's the key point. Westward notes that even after passage of the 2005 a ballot measure here in the city decriminalizing possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana by adults in the city, the arrest rate for possession has gone up. Now, you could say that, well, after that ballot measure passed, more people were possessing. And so while the total number of arrests may have gone up, maybe the arrest rate had gone down. Although there's no way to prove that. There's no way to know how many people are actually possessing. But it is telling how you see the status quo of the sort of law enforcement complex that doesn't want to have any discussion about drug policy reform, increasing the arrests on possession even after the voters of this city voted overwhelmingly to tell them to make it their lowest enforcement priority. I wonder what you think about all this in the context of drug policy reform. Is this a paradigm shift? Congressman calling the DEA rogues? Or is this also at the same time the law enforcement apparatus digging in, saying we're not going to allow any change whatsoever? We'll go to the phones, 303-713-7600. Let's go to Dean in Aurora. Dean, you're on AM760.
Hey, David.
Hey, Dean.
I was really surprised to hear the Republican-sponsored bill by, I believe its name was Waller. I think that we would not be having this bill sponsored by a Republican if we were not in a crisis situation as far as our state budget goes.
So you think this is the silver lining of a financial emergency.
Absolutely. It's refreshing also to see that sometimes politicians can really agree on something that just absolutely makes sense. One of the things that my wife and I do is we provide transitional housing for nonviolent ex-cons that are coming out of prison. And a lot of times I'm amazed at how these guys are sentenced and for possession. And you get a 2-year sentence for possessing a few joints or something.
Mm-hmm.
Not with intent to sell. But just
intent to consume.
Exactly. And I think that when you consider the amount of money that we're spending on these guys, housing them in prison, it just doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. And this is why, as I say, in this Westward piece that I read yesterday about Mason Tvert, these numbers of that the Denver police are arresting more people on possession charges, even after the voters have weighed in specifically on this, it just says to me that as optimistic I am that Republicans in the legislature are moving towards supporting and being honest, more honest, whether because of the budget crisis or not, about drug policy and criminal justice reform, you are going to have a fight with law enforcement. Clearly, between the DEA rogues here trying to crack down on medical marijuana and these stats that came out about the arrest rate on possession in Denver even after voters weighed in on it, clearly there is a law enforcement establishment that doesn't want to consider any change whatsoever. And I predict to you that is where the fight is going to be. And I think it's going to be a tough fight. Hey, Dean, thanks for the call. Let's go to Dan and Lyons. Dan, you're on AM 760.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, man.
Hey, I just wanted to key in on that social economical.
Yes, sir. What is rich, what is not?
Yeah. You know, when about 10 years ago when I first met my wife, we lived down in Austin, making $80,000 between us, just going out, spending money, you know, where the heck it all went, trying to pay our, you know, rent the next day. And now I make $30,000. I live out in Lyons here, you know, a little house off the river, and just really enjoying life. And still sending my son to a little private school out here in Boulder. But, you know, I see some of the folks that he goes to school with, and, you know, he has friends that goes over to their house and stuff. And these guys they're stressed. You know, and they got the big cars, and I'm not saying that that's wrong.
Let me ask you this: why do you think they're stressed? I mean, do you think they're stressed because they've extended themselves to spending wise, and are worried that the recession will make them unable to afford the lifestyle that they've grown into?
Well, you know, if you have, I don't know how their debt situation is, things like that, but if you've got that stuff on top of you and you're saying, okay, you know, I can't back off what I'm doing. You know, maybe I don't want to work 60-hour weeks. So if I back off of this and then, you know, what's going to happen? My whole world's going to go away. But yeah, that's a stress right there. You know, and then you're trying to keep up with the Joneses and have your kids excel more than they need to be excelled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a stressful situation. But if you just kind of, if you take a breath and you know, and just sit back and just kind of let things happen as they will, that's what I've kind of done. I'm not saying I'm not perfect. And, you know,
no, but and this is, look, but this too,
but we ride those stresses through, and I don't have a bunch of stuff on top of my head. You know,
and this is the attitudinal shift that I was talking about. I do think, and Jeffrey Zaks, the CU Boulder professor, and I think we have a disagreement on this. I think that there's a chance that this recession, because it's been so bad, and it's been particularly scary, psychologically scary, to see Wall Street go to the brink and all that. I think that it may change people's attitudes. I think that there's a chance that we can have an attitudinal shift in this country about what is rich, what is middle class, what is a necessity, what isn't, what do I need to have a good lifestyle, what don't I really need.
Exactly.
That we can have that attitudinal shift without having to go through necessarily as bad a pain as the Great Depression. I mean, maybe you call me a crazy optimist. You know, I don't think I am. I think that there's a lot of people out there who are saying, look, I'm glad for what I have right now. And I am going to reevaluate what my needs really are. And as I said, I mentioned my grandparents, right? My grandparents, they did pretty well in their lives, but because they had come over from the old country where they knew what real poverty was and they knew what real tyranny and despotism and genocide was, they came over here and they were the kind of people who were very, very frugal. They never, quote unquote, grew into their income, right? They weren't hoarders, but they were very, very frugal. And my hope is, as an optimist, that maybe this recession, we talk about silver lining in the budget crisis as it relates to criminal justice reform, maybe the silver lining of the recession is that more and more people are thinking harder about what is really necessary as an expense and what isn't. And if that can breed a culture of more saving and more frugality, I don't think that's necessarily bad. I mean, I'm not saying I think people should not spend in a consumer economy, but a rethinking of priorities, I think that would be good for this country after 30 years of go-go economics, right? Greed is good economics. Dan, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Make a really good point. All right, up next, a couple more stories off the wire. The president's healthcare summit now underway. I want to fill you in on the Democratic Senate retreat on the Patriot Act. We'll also take more of your calls about you want to weigh in on the killer whale. Should the killer whale be euthanized? I think that would be outrageous. You want to weigh in on criminal justice reform. You got Republicans now joining Democrats on criminal justice reform. You want to weigh in on taxes. What is wealthy? What isn't wealthy? Do the rich, as one Colorado University of Colorado professor says, do the rich self-delude? Do they trick themselves into believing that they are only making ends meet? And if so, why? 303-713-7600. All that after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave, we do have some late accidents to avoid around the metro. Things are looking pretty good at towards the end of last hour, but now things are really jamming up. Got a crash blocking the left lane northbound I-25 after Colorado Boulevard. Backups around Yale there. Also got a crash southbound I-25 after Spear Boulevard. Those delays going back past I-70. Out on the east end, still have one lane just moving past that overturned semi. That happened very early this morning. Westbound I-70 at mile marker 340 and Agate. Detours still in place. But one lane getting by. Also got a crash at Federal and Spear. The forecast, mostly cloudy, snow showers late this afternoon. Just about an inch or two here in the metro. Should be relatively warm, though, today with a high of 47. Right now, 40 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
All right. We can't cook. We can't shower. Got a backed up sink. We've been waiting for 8 hours.
Nine.
The kids are starting to stink.
This is Bob, the owner of Drain Solvers. 303-423-1000. I guarantee we will not send you a dim-witted plumber with a plunger in his hand. All of our technicians are pre-screened, drug tested, and background checked. Call Drain Solvers, 303-423-1000, or go to drainsolvers.com.
Hi, it's David Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepalese, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week, and they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill, theyakandyeti.com.
Adding new privacy protections to the nation's primary counterterrorism law, the Patriot Act, as Republicans refuse to lend support and portray the majority as willing to harm terror investigations. Lacking the 60-vote supermajority, Democratic leaders settled on a one-year extension of the Bush administration's Patriot Act. Another retreat. Speaking about of retreats, this is from the Washington Post today. The Obama administration is no longer insisting on the creation of a standalone consumer protection agency as a central element of the plan to remake regulation of the financial system. I'll tell you something. It's just amazing, really. Because I was reading this Elliot Spitzer column in Slate today. A friend of mine sent it to me. And it's always important to put all these retreats into historical perspective. And Elliot Spitzer was writing about taxes in his Slate column, and he said, just reading you this, leaders of a century ago invoked justice in remarkable language that is unimaginable today. President Woodrow Wilson called paying taxes a glorious privilege. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes observed that, quote, taxes are what we pay for civilized society. In 1942, here's the key point. President Franklin Roosevelt said, quote, in this time of grave national danger when all excess income should go to win the war, no American citizen ought to have a net income after he has paid his taxes of more than $25,000. Now, that $25,000 is the equivalent of $323,000 in today's dollars. So I'm just doing back of the envelope here. $323,000 after taxes. That's after tax income. Let's say it's, what is that? Let's say it's $500,000 in pre-tax income, so you get a paycheck of $500,000 a year. Can you imagine a modern president, a modern Democrat, suggesting that no American should earn more than a $500,000 paycheck? This is how far we've come. I mean, this was a Democratic president who said this, one of the most popular presidents, Democratic or otherwise, in American history. And so it's important to put the retreats, when Obama's backing away from a consumer financial protection agency, it's important to remember that the most popular Democratic president in the last 100 years was a guy who literally said no American should make over $500,000 during a time of national emergency. It's just important to put these in historical perspective. Also, to put into historical perspective, the filibuster. And this idea that they should pass health care with just 51 votes. The New York Times has this story about this so-called reconciliation procedure. 16 of the 22 reconciliation bills that have made it through Congress since reconciliation was first established were passed in the Senate when the Republicans had the majority. So when you hear the Republicans complaining about reconciliation, remember that. They're the ones who've used it the most. Speaking of healthcare, that summit's going on. We have on our website, am760.net, this clip from Congressman Anthony Weiner, just a fascinating exchange on the floor of the House about healthcare to preview this healthcare summit. Check it out on our website, am760.net. Also, you may know that Tom Hartman and I are doing this event at the Tattered Cover on March 5th. The tickets are sold out for that, but you can register to win some extra tickets that we have, and to join us, me and Tom, at a VIP happy hour beforehand. We're going to have some drinks, and you can register for that at our website, at the front of our website, am760.net. Sign up for that, again, on the front of our website, am760.net. Let's go back to the phones. If you want to weigh in on anything, the killer whale, should the whale be euthanized? I think that would be outrageous. Drug policy reform, Congressman Jared Polis calling the DEA rogues for cracking down on medical marijuana. What do you think about that? And the definition of rich. Why do you think the rich delude themselves? People making over $250,000 a year in the Denver Post reporting that some of them saying that they're stretched thin. Are they deluding themselves? 303-713-7600. Eric in Arvada. Hey, Eric, you're on AM760.
Hello, David.
Hey there.
Slightly off topic from what I was calling for, but also in the Second World War, FDR made sure that everyone knew it was treason to war profiteer.
Yes, he did, and so did Harry Truman.
So, also Anthony Weiner. I would like to think that Anthony Weiner is the face of the Democratic Party, but unfortunately, few have the spine that he does.
You know, and I'm glad that you make that point, because we've gotten a bunch of instant messages, and you can always instant message at am760.net. A couple of people have said, you know, the Weiner would have been more honest if he would have said, he called the Republicans wholly owned subsidiary of the insurance industry. And a couple of people have instant messaged us saying, Weiner would be more honest if he'd also say that a lot of Democrats are that way too.
Well, and that is so true. But the reason that I called is that absolutely I don't think that this, that the killer whale should be euthanized. They knew he was a whale when he was, when he was born there. I think they outlaw kidnapping whales out of the ocean, you know, a few decades ago, but they give birth.
That's right.
But I think if we lived in a just society, they would try to, perhaps rehabilitate him like they did with Keiko and maybe set him free, something like that, but we don't live in a perfect society. However, I think somebody like, that Terry Ryan, he's the lawyer for the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association, the guy that's going to sue Colorado State University to make sure that the students can carry on campus. I think he should use this as a possible fodder for him, that if properly trained CCW holders had been in the aquarium at that time, they could have deduced that the whale had bad intentions, opened fire and saved the trainer.
Oh man, I know you're being facetious, but you know, it's funny that you bring that up. I'm not kidding. We had a somebody instant message our show yesterday who said in relation to the Deer Creek shooting, oh, you know, this is why we should allow kids to be licensed to carry guns. Not even teachers, right? Because that's a hot debate that we should license kids to carry guns to school if they have a proper concealed license. And I'm not kidding here when I tell you that the person who emailed us was not kidding. Like, it was a totally serious email. And it just boggles the mind on and reminds you how some people out there, and they got some bonkers ideas. I tell you, hey Eric, thanks for the call. Let's go to who's been holding the longest here? We'll go to Mark in Denver. Hey Mark.
Hi David.
Hey there.
I wanted to make two comments about wealth and the whale. The first thing about what is wealthy and what is not, in my opinion, that is not the real issue, because you are never going to be able to answer that question. That is an individual assessment. Am I wealthy? Am I not? Am I in need? Am I not? But the problem is that the real issue is that in America, the rich get richer, and it is harder and becoming harder and harder, more and more difficult for a person in their social class to progress to a higher social class in terms of money. And the reason that is because of the way we can play games with money in this country because of the tax laws. And the real issue is doggone it, let's just have a flat tax. That levels the playing field. It allows people, hey, if they want to work hard, they can pursue their life dream. If they want to kick back and be a beach bum, they can kick back and be a beach bum. But everybody's contributing, and it levels the playing field.
See, I mean, it depends on how you define a flat tax. You want one tax rate. You want basically a consumption tax, a sales tax.
Sales tax, it can be, well, you know, sales tax, income tax, capital gains tax, death tax. You might have different categories, different percentages for each category, but it applies to everybody.
Well, and this is where I come in, because here's the thing. I do not support a national sales tax to replace the income tax. Here's what I support. What I support is saying all income is income, period. End of story. That if you make your money from wages, if you make it from inheritance, if you make it from capital gains, if you make it from stock trades, whatever you make it from, at the end of the year, it's all money. And let's say we have three or four brackets, very simple, even if it was just three brackets, progressive brackets, all income is income, and your first dollar zero to dollar, I don't know, $20,000 is one bracket, dollar $20,000 to dollar $70,000 or $80,000 is another bracket, dollar $80,000 and on up is another bracket. See, the problem with the tax system is not that we have brackets. The problem is that we classify different income differently, right? We say capital gains, hey, if you make your money trading on a stock, you didn't dirty your hands on any real work, you just bet on something, you only have to pay 15%. But if you make your money on wages, you got to pay payroll taxes, you got to pay higher income taxes. My point is, the what we have is a tax system right now that rewards and incentivizes making your money not through wages, not through work. And it needs to be the other way around. We should, if we want a productive society, what better way to incentivize a productive working society than to have a tax system that incentivizes work, not just idle wealth? And so if you're there, that's where I am. I think that's the way to go. And I think the more and more we discuss this tax issue, the more and more we can actually get to a real discussion rather than simply what the conservatives want us to say, which is that all taxes are evil. Hey, thanks for the call. 9:36 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, the listener sends in, and I thank him for it, a piece noting that the IRS terrorist attack, the suicide kamikaze attack last week on the IRS, is not the first attack on the IRS. In fact, there was a very high-profile terrorist attack on the IRS right here in Colorado fairly recently. We'll fill you in on that, because the folks who say, oh, it wasn't really a terrorist attack because it wasn't connected to a broader pattern of attacks, guess what? You're wrong, and I got a good example for you right here in this state from guess where else? Colorado Springs. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave. Still got this major crash southbound I-25 after Spear Boulevard. Really slow-going traffic. Looks like it's barely moving all the way back past I-70. Also got a crash blocking the left lane of northbound I-25 after Colorado Boulevard. Delays back past Yale. Also seeing some really slow traffic out east and coming westbound on I-70 through Agate. We had an early rollover of a semi. That's at mile marker 340. Still sitting there. People are using Highway 85 westbound to County Road 153 and then back up to I-70, but some really slow speeds there as well. Up in the high country, might run into some slick spots on I-70 between the Eisenhower Tunnel and Grand Junction. Forecast, mostly cloudy, breezy, highs in the mid to upper 40s. Light snow showers coming late this afternoon, just about 1 to 2 inches in the city. Currently 40 degrees in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver Health has a variety of job openings for registered nurses and health care providers. For more information, visit denverhealth.org. That's denverhealth.org. Denver Health, level one care for all. Denver Health is an equal opportunity employer.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
Hi, I'm Scott O'Sullivan of the O'Sullivan Law Firm. There are things that you need to know if you were hurt in an accident. Like if the other driver's insurance company calls to ask you questions about the accident, do not give them permission to record the call. They will find a way to use it against you. For more tips on what to do after an accident, find me at O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. That's O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. Or call me at 303-388-5304.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Snow in the forecast later today and on Sunday and Monday. About 37 degrees out there right now. Last week there was this discussion about what is terrorism, what is not terrorism after the, and I'm just going to call it a terrorist attack on the IRS in Austin, Texas. And part of the discussion, and we heard the New York Times reported on the television coverage of this, anchors all over TV very worried about calling this terrorism. They didn't want to call it terrorism. You better believe if the Joseph Stack, who was the terrorist attacker, if his name was an Arabic sounding name, they would have immediately called him a terrorist. And if you deny that, then you are willfully ignorant. But one of the arguments that people made, that some people made, and Glenn Greenwald from Salon.com documented this, there was a debate among Newsweek reporters, what is terrorism, what isn't. And, you know, some of them said, well, if it's not part of a pattern, if it's kind of a lone wolf, then you might not want to call it terrorism. Well, one of our listeners emailed in, noting that right here we have a local example of how Joseph Stack's attack on the IRS was, in fact, part of a pattern. The headline from the Colorado Springs Gazette, November 3rd, 2001. Three arrested in 1997 fire at Springs IRS office. A four-year investigation into an arson fire that destroyed the IRS in Colorado Springs ended Friday with the arrest of three men. The May 1997 fire caused more than $1 million in damage, seriously injuring a firefighter and forcing the IRS and other businesses to relocate. And this is a story about how these folks were arrested. And again, it was arson, so it was a deliberate attack. So for those who say that the attack on the IRS can't be called a terrorist attack because it wasn't part of a pattern, there's your local example showing that it was, in fact, part of a pattern. We're going to go back to the phones now, 303-713-7600. You want to weigh in on taxes, what is rich, what is not rich. You want to weigh in on the criminal justice reform effort here in state. We heard from a Republican state legislator who is joining with Democrats to push for lower sentences for drug offenders. I think that's great news. And if you want to weigh in on the killer whale, some people call him for the killer whale who killed the trainer yesterday to be euthanized. What do you think about that? I said, I think it should make us rethink what the purpose and the morality or immorality of a SeaWorld really is. These animals, we're using them to be entertainers. Now, somebody's instant messaging. We get all your instant messages here, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Send us an instant message. Somebody made a very good point. They said, well, what about the idea that SeaWorld or even zoos, even though we are voyeurs and we are looking sort of commodifying these animals in some ways, although, again, it must be clear, zoos, behind the scenes, they're doing a lot of really humanitarian work here, humane work about repopulating species and rescuing animals. But what about the idea that zoos or even a SeaWorld decommodifies animals in the sense of it makes kids, when a kid meets a whale or sees a whale, for instance, they're going to be less willing to be okay with the fact that whales are killed for food or for sport, right? It kind of, I don't want to say it doesn't humanize the animal, but it because it's not a human, but it makes the animal, it brings kids into contact with animals, and so even though these animals are being kind of in a prison, for the broader cause of animal rights, you are giving kids an interaction with animals that kind of shows that they're more than just commodities. I don't know if I buy that, but it's an interesting argument. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones. Manfred in Longmont. Manfred, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
Change of topic a little bit. I wanted to comment on yesterday's guest about his book about Europe's better way.
Yes, sir.
Of handling things.
Yes.
I'm 55, and I've been in the U.S. now for the last 25 years. So I know both systems pretty well, and I'm German. And I've been puzzling about why America is the way it is for a long time. And my solution is that America never really made the full transition from a pioneer society to an industrial society in a way. In a pioneer society, individual rights, individual freedom worked really well, and small communities took care of their members. You know, in an industrial society, that doesn't work anymore. People fall through the cracks, and society has to take care of them.
You know, it's a really good point, and it's really in the culture of even in some of the language of the Constitution, this idea of individual rights, and I think that there is this, although there is this debate now, right? I mean, I'm in my column coming up tomorrow. I actually, you know, you hear the Glenn Becks of the world, the me first, screw everybody else people, whether it's on taxes or anything else, saying, look, we are founded as a nation of individualism. And there's, you could argue that. You could also argue that one of the most famous rallying cries at the time of the nation's founding was join or die, right? Which is basically the mantra that Lost puts it, live together or die alone, right? That was quite literally the mantra of the founders. So we're having this discussion. I do think you're right. I do think that regardless of what the founders thought, you're certainly right that pioneer spirit is there. And I think that Manfred, what's gone on is that it has been really idealized. It's not just that the policies are like that, right? It's that the pop culture has deified the cowboy spirit, right? Going rogue,
yeah.
Right? These are value systems that say the only way we can succeed. In fact, the best kind of behavior is rebellion against the community. That's what the cowboy spirit is. That's what the rogue spirit is. I mean, it's not the only thing it is, but certainly that's embedded there. And I think we have to start asking ourselves whether, really, how much that pop culture has taught us to despise the concept of solidarity, the concept of we live together or we die alone. And what was interesting, I found, and I'm guessing you found it interesting too, was that the author yesterday of the book about Europe said that, you know, Europe, they came to some of these realizations after the awfulness of World War II.
No, that's not exactly true. I mean, it really happened earlier in the 19th century.
Well, but you could. But here's the thing. And I ask you. You said you're from Germany.
Yeah.
You could have seen a situation, or I could imagine a situation where, after the Holocaust, after World War II, that you could have seen some people in Germany say, "Look, we just saw a government-led tragedy of biblical proportions, right?
Yeah.
And so what we need to do is organize society around rights against the government, to protect ourselves from the government. Instead, what you've seen is, I think, Germany has become, at least economically, a model of where the government and the citizenry work together for a much more moral economy.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's not that Europe taxes itself to that level out of altruistic reasons. You know, the fact is it works. You know, if you invest in health insurance, if you invest in education, childcare, et cetera, give people leisure time, they become more productive.
That's right. You're saying it's not really
all of that stuff. It's not altruistic.
Right.
It works.
It's not moral. It's a productivity argument. It's an economic argument. I think that's absolutely true. And I think that when we look at corporations and when we look at nations at the public policy level, you're exactly right. It's rarely ever do they act out of the goodness of their own hearts. They act out of a sense of realism. What works, or what do we think is going to work? And in America, I think the public policies largely work for the people who are controlling the political system. And in Germany, for various reasons, and in a lot of places in Europe, they have figured out that they can make their entire economy work better, be more productive and efficient with a different model. Hey, Manfred, thanks for the call. 951 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We got a couple open lines. Pete, Derek, Dave, hang on. We'll try to get to your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. Traffic is clearing up for us. We had an earlier accident southbound I-25 after Spear. That's now out of the way. Also had one northbound I-25 after Colorado. Like I said, both those accidents now out of your way. Traffic is still slow, though, heading into downtown both directions. One lane still getting past that overturned semi westbound I-70 at mile marker 340. That's out near Agate. Detours are in place, but still one lane is getting by. In the high country, going to be slick in spots on 70 from the tunnel all the way to Grand Junction. Forecast today, mostly cloudy, snow showers late this afternoon. Inch or two in the metro, 2 to 4 in the foothills. Should be relatively warm, though, today with a high of 47. Right now, 41 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you sell your gold through the mail to some out-of-town stranger, you're getting ripped off. Take it to Fast Cash, and you'll get 40% more in cash and on the spot. Want to get what your gold's really worth? Get a quote from Fast Cash before you sell. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
It's quite a proposition when you think about it. You contact GEICO and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. 15 minutes, simple as that. Something they've been doing for over 70 years. You want car insurance and you want extra money in your wallet, done and done. Now not only do you have some nice car insurance, you've got plenty of money to spend on some tasty biscuits. Or flowers for your mum. Or whatever it is you fancy.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And now, two more facts you didn't know. Fact 1. There are no poisonous snakes in Maine. Fact 2. GEICO can also help you with renter's insurance. And that's important, because when you rent, the building itself may be insured, but your possessions are not. So GEICO can help you make sure you're really covered. For all the details, visit GEICO.com. No poisonous snakes. On a personal note, I've just decided I'm moving to Maine.
Since OnStar began, we've responded to over 100,000 automatic crash alerts.
OnStar emergency, are there any injuries?
I don't know. I'm in a ditch.
I am going to get the 911 center on the line.
Emergency line.
This is OnStar emergency calling. I have a vehicle crash on Highway 16.
What happened?
I hit black ice. I've got a headache.
I have her east of Highway 97. I also have a latitude and longitude.
Okay, that helps. Are you at the ski hill?
Yep.
With built-in automatic crash response, an OnStar advisor can use GPS technology to locate you and share crash details, which could help save your life.
Help is on the way. We have fire and EMS heading out there to you.
I am still on the line. Do you have a blanket you can put on?
Yes, I had a couple of quilts in the back seat. I think they just got here.
All right, then. Please know we're here when you need us.
OnStar is standard for the first year on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
All right, this is just off the wire here from Orlando down in SeaWorld there. They are not going to euthanize the whale, and that is really good news. So that is, I think that's the right decision. And there's a quote in this story from the senior scientist at the Humane Society. Saying, quote, using these animals in entertainment is not good for animals or people. Sadly, we've seen evidence of that again today. And Jack Hanna, the animal trainer, he even says, is it a dangerous animal? Of course it is. It's called a killer whale. I wonder what you think should be done with the whale. We'll go to the phones. Couple more calls here. Let's go to Derek. Hey, Derek, how you doing, buddy?
Yes, hello?
Hey, man.
Hey, good morning, David.
Morning.
I wanted to give you a call because of your comments on Jay Norton earlier in the U.S. Senate race. It reminded me of a question you asked last week, actually, trying to get some people to call in and give you a difference on give some differences on Michael Bennett and Andrew Romanoff. So last week I had a chance to go to the debate between the two candidates, and Bennett tried very, very hard to equate his cash windfall from political action committees as senator to what Andrew Romanoff did in the State House over the course of 8 years. And it is a huge difference, and something that really needs to be pointed out as this debate's going to be shown on cable here shortly, because Michael Bennett has taken nearly $900,000 in political action committee money, corporate lobbyist cash, over the course of about a year. And Andrew Romanoff took less than $70,000 in the State House over the course of 8 years. And most importantly, his pledge going forward is to not do that in this election or any future elections. And you can actually go onto FEC.gov, the Federal Election Commission. You can see what Michael Bennett has been able to, quote unquote, accomplish with this money from the oil and gas sector, military and industrial, health insurance companies, Walmart, the banking sector. He takes more corporate cash from than 95 other senators in the U.S. Senate. And, you know, I think we really just need to think about different races around the country, like what Russ Feingold did in Wisconsin. If I remember correctly, he was able to win an election by just taking individual donations from people.
That's right. Now, there's a little bit of speculation. Well, not speculation. Later, there were some independent expenditures for him later on. But, yes, as a matter of his personal campaign, that's exactly right. And, look, I do think what you're seeing from the Bennett campaign is you're seeing them trying to say that it's a defensive strategy. They're saying, look, we don't really have any answer for why, to really explain why Bennett has taken so much out-of-state money and so much money from financial interests, Wall Street interests, as an example. So we're just going to say, look, everybody's taking money, so it's no big deal. I don't think it's honest. I don't think it's right, and I think you're exactly right that what we should really be interested in is not necessary. I mean, we shouldn't. I'm not going to go as far as saying that I think it's that we should ignore what Andrew Romanoff, his primary opponent, has done in the past. We should not ignore it. It's a point of we should look at people's whole history, but we should also look at their history, as you say, in total terms, in mathematical terms. And there is a big difference here. And we should also be asking what is going to happen going forward. Derek, good point. Thanks for the call. We got see if we can get squeeze in one more call. Can we squeeze in Pete, or is Pete gone? Oh, Pete is gone. All right, that's the show for today. Tomorrow, Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone on his new expose on Goldman Sachs. That's tomorrow. Also, Jason Bain of Colorado Polls will be in studio drinking a beer with us in the 9 a.m. hour. We'll take your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. Also, go on our website, am760.net, if you want tickets for the event with me and Tom Hartman. We're going to be giving them away next week. It's already sold out. That's on the front of am760.net. Until then, see you then, and stay out of the snow.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
If you're like most families these days, you're struggling to save every dollar you can. Well, right now, we can show you how to save thousands of dollars on your term life insurance. And all it takes is one free 5-minute phone call. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. So let's say you're 40 years old and married. We could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which could save you hundreds of dollars every year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-700-2152. These days, every dollar counts. So let us show you how you could save up to 75%. It only takes 5 minutes, and the call is absolutely free. So please call now, 1-800-700-2152. That's 1-800-700-2152.
Now, there's a lot of ways you can stay connected to us. You can listen to AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
Live streaming courtesy of Pianos and Pianos.
AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.